Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. Well, that was all professional. I better do that again. Yo, y'all, we back.
Hey.
I liked the first one better.
Yeah,
how y'all doing out there in Magic Land?
On them and their interwebs. I'll cut all this. It'll be fine.
No, you won't.
See, the funny part is when I just say I'll cut it and then I don't.
Yeah. It's important.
Okay, here we go. Hell, no, I'm not even going to act like I'm going to cut any of that. So yes, I am Chewy. I haven't really gotten a title yet. Like on the other show, I'm the lead dork. I don't know what I'd be here. Like the ringleader. Or the ringmaster, as it seems here lately. Oh well. So I'm Chewy. I am joined this week by some other people, like for instance, Clues.
Hey, I'm Clues. It's great to be here.
And also, for instance, Squee.
Hi, I'm not Clues, and it's great to be here.
And he'll be back on your next upkeep.
Yeah, whether you like it or not.
Okay, then. He's not wrong. And Jack, unfortunately, could not join us this week, but we reached into the past and plucked out a familiar, happy, friendly Canadian voice. Who are you, sir?
This is Jeremy Schofield, and welcome to the Monday Night Magic.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess he's the ringleader now.
Good to see you. No, he's got to be like chief wizard or something.
Exactly.
Actually, isn't that like a kind of like that the white hatted guys? What did they call themselves? They were from the south, weren't they?
Say the clan.
I was going to say, are we about to make a?
Aren't they the chief wizards guy? Like,
they're called dragons.
Let's wave
off. They call themselves dragons.
Yeah, they call them. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, like a ship. It'll be fun.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, this is so terrible. We're learning things now. We're educational.
Let's steer this train wreck back on course.
You know, I don't think I've ever said this, but thank goodness Jack wasn't here for that.
Yeah.
Because he'd have told us about the guy down the road who was a grand wizard who got busted in a meth lab. So.
Glad we avoided that conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good that folks. Didn't come up.
So.
Back to my Canadian innocence or something.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, like we don't really have anything. Like the closest thing we have is Rough Rider fans, and that's about it.
You mean the Mounties don't get uppity?
No, the Mounties are fine. They're just no police and stuff like that.
You mean the Lumberjacks don't get uppity?
Well,
no,
if they
the Mounties keep them in check.
Kind of.
They're Lumberjacks, and they're okay.
They're okay. Yeah, of course.
Just they tend to work in places where there's one bar, and if they get thrown out of that one bar, then they have nowhere to drink, therefore they have no reason to live.
Look, they sleep all night and they work all day.
You got it the first time, Clues.
I know, he didn't move on, so I kept going.
They wear high heels, suspendies, and a bra. Now,
what are we talking about?
See, Jeremy didn't get it, and that makes it great.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay, so, Jeremy, what you been up to since the last time you were, you know, here?
Well, geez, I don't even remember. What was the last time I was here?
I brought you because there's a big modern thing.
Okay.
And I was like, Jeremy.
It was in relation to modern, so yeah, that was a while ago.
It was after
maybe,
extended.
Was it the Pro Tour?
It might have been.
Well, it's been a long time. I had a baby girl, which I'm sure what happened before that.
Yeah, that happened way before that. How are mom and baby, by the way?
Mom and baby are doing great. I had Petra Daddy Day today because I was off work today and the wife was at work. So got to go to the park. She's talking. She has an affection for black magic cards. Yeah. I've got a big box of just like bulk cards, and whenever she sneaks into my office, she goes through the bin and she pulls out black cards.
Nice.
Ooh. Yeah. All right. So she's a big fan of the whatever the 3-2 intimidate guy is from the new set. I always seem to find her having one of those in her hands. So yeah, she's first pick that thing, that Spectre or whatever it's called for four.
Well, intimidate is
I still don't know the names of the cards. Sorry people.
I didn't even know there was a 3-2 Intimidate, so, you know.
The cards have names?
Yes.
They all say card name. You should know that, Clues. It's in all the cards.
They say card name?
Well, they put brackets around it, but I can't really pronounce those.
That's on Magic Online, right?
The card name thing?
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
There we go.
We're being really bad at this.
So, we certainly are.
It's because we were told to be on topic, so we can't.
Yeah.
On topic. Wow.
Way to go, Clues.
Sorry.
Jeez. Well, no, I've been doing that. I've been doing the A-Team show on manadeprived.com.
Our condolences.
Comes up every Monday. Yeah, it's good stuff. One of our members just recently made the Community Cup team, so we'll talk about that a little bit later, but that's pretty cool.
Yay, and Boosh! Yeah,
really, no, not Boosh.
Damn it.
Could you imagine Jay Boosh on a Community Cup team?
God, that would be...
I would watch it.
Wizards?
I would actually watch it then if Boosh made it. Like, no kidding.
I'm pretty sure the stream would have to be on a delay.
That's great.
Like, potentially, yeah. You know, he's
normally like a 7-second delay, but for him, they have to make sure that they can actually censor out fingers too, so it takes a bit longer.
I was actually just going to say that he's, you know, not that, but I cut myself off there. I had to, I don't want to talk, you know, bullshit too early on in the show.
And we have made it all of 6.5 minutes in before Chewie has to edit.
All right, hang on.
Really? I'm not allowed to say that word?
No, correct. You never were.
Oh my goodness, I'm sorry.
All right, hang on. Those Canadians are a bad influence on you, other Canadian.
See, and that seemed really, like, that seemed safe.
See how your perspective changes?
Well, we're allowed to see that on TV here.
Okay, but yeah, look.
We can only say it on South Park in this country.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay. we can't get away with that on.
Oh, wait, no, I heard it on The Walking Dead a few times, and every time my head would snap up, like, did he just say that?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't got to those yet.
I apologize. No naughty curse words.
No naughty curse words.
That's right. There's no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
Say, be sure you say fiddlesticks. Or...
Tiddlywinks.
Tiddlywinks. Sassafras, sassafras, sassafras. Okay. So the big news, ordinarily we start with tournament coverage and go into other stuff, but this week I'm making an exception. I'm making an exception. The big news is the San Diego Comic-Con Magic panel where they revealed all kinds of stuff. I was at a PTQ, a modern PTQ, Jeremy. You'd be proud of me. I wasn't playing, so you probably wouldn't.
Why didn't you play?
Because modern.
Because modern.
I had to be there before it started to take a card for Mike. Mike was playing his black-green Tron deck again. And
black-green Tron?
Yeah. Yeah, he really wanted to cast Death Cloud. So he made a black-green Tron deck.
And did he manage to cast Death Cloud?
Oh, yeah, several times.
Great.
Did he want to in this situation?
Well, otherwise he wouldn't have cast it.
Well, maybe you just sometimes have to cast the cards to justify putting the deck together and showing up.
No,
that's
no.
Not how Mike works.
Yeah, Mike knows better.
If Mike decides he's making a funny deck, he also will only play it like in a casual environment if he thinks there's no chance whatsoever. Yeah, you know, those things that we go to when we think we're being competitive. They're cute.
But that's not a casual setting.
And that's why it's not what he does. Mike wouldn't actually show up if he didn't think he had a shot at winning.
Wow. Well, I'll give him credit.
He's pretty rogue. Mike's pretty rogue like that.
Yeah. Brian was also there. He was playing a Runeflare trap deck.
You know what? I've done that in extended, so I can't really talk, but yeah.
Yeah. He did survive a 13-point Genesis wave. And when, well, I can't say the next turn because he took many, many, many turns after that, but next time he got to take a turn, it was the last time his opponent took one.
Okay.
So I was proud of him. I mean, neither of them did very well, but they had fun. But I hung out all day. I was live tweeting what they were doing. And right in the middle of what was going to be the last round, because they had both dropped at that, or they were, once this round was over, they didn't know it at the time, but once this round was over, they were both going to drop. I started getting inundated with tweets about just ungodly nonsense. And I'm like, I was like, what in the holy blue hell is all of this? And it turned out it was fallout from San Diego Comic-Con panel. And what a fallout it was. The first thing I got was a link, or it was an image of the new Teferi, which I specifically waited to read until Mike was done with his round and was sitting there doing nothing. I was like, dude, we're reading this.
Did you read that while recording?
No, I didn't. I was not recording anything at the PTQ.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
So, what I have here is a link to a Reddit post that sums everything up. I don't know if there is an official post anywhere. I don't know if the panel video is up anywhere yet. I don't know. If it is, we'll find it and put it in the show notes.
Yeah, to my knowledge, it's not up yet. Okay. At least not as of when we're recording this show.
Okay.
Yeah, I think like a lot of this stuff comes from like their Twitter account, the Magic the Gathering Twitter account.
Yes, the Magic Twitter account was live tweeting during the panel, and that's where I got all my information because I was at Lucky's in Greensboro. So, a bunch of news from the Vault Annihilation comes out August 20th. What? You sounded like you wanted to say something.
What?
Okay, no, you didn't. So
no,
from
I'm
the
stifling
votes,
a sneeze. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought that was like you were going to break in. Nope. So August 22nd, they revealed Wrath of God, Rolling Earthquake, Living Death, and Cataclysm. What's Living Death doing in here?
In the Annihilation package?
Like because Living it's Death? The zombie apocalypse? Like, I don't get it.
Well, because it kills everything.
Oh, okay. I keep forgetting that it does the first part of that, too.
Yes.
Because the only decks you see that sort of thing in nowadays are, you know, fill up my graveyard, get all these guys. Okay, well, how about that?
Yeah, it's the deck they call Living Death.
Right.
Or Living End.
Either one, or both.
Is it Living End, or is it Living Death?
It's Living End, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that was Living End.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the same card, it's just one has Suspend and one does not. Yeah. So, all of those,
the vault, living, everybody dies.
Yes, and the Living Death art is apparently the one from the new Duels of the Planeswalkers, which I haven't seen yet.
Okay, I haven't seen that either.
More news. They announced the next Duel decks coming September 5th.
We've known that Speed versus Cunning was happening, but that's like all we knew.
Okay, I forgot all about that. So,
how could you forget the epic struggle of Speed versus Cunning? I
might not have been on Monday Night Magic that week. So the Cunning deck, so many jokes. The Cunning deck is headed up by Arcanus, so many jokes, the Omnipotent, who is originally from Onslaught back in the day. He's the guy, tap, draw three cards. The rest is sort of irrelevant. And
so do you think that Arcanus is going to be in Cons?
No.
I think it's possible.
I don't think so. Because he's not a planeswalker. Why would he be in Cons?
Because it's a time travel set and morphs in... Oh, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Time travel. It gets you every time.
Well, I mean, we did have to dip back into the past to get Jeremy, because it's, what, mid-2013?
It's still 2013 with him, right?
Yeah.
Probably something like that.
By the way, Jeremy, the idea to get me to go to Vegas will be a good one. Be sure you have it.
Yes.
All right, so
excited for that event. That Modern Masters looks good.
It does. The Zergo Helm Smasher is the
Gesundheit.
Thank you. I was trying to stifle that, but I failed.
How long were you waiting for that clues?
Not very long. It just came to me suddenly as he said it. I'm like, that really sounded like a sneeze. Go on. I'm sorry. Sorry. Okay. Sidetrack.
He is the head of the Speed deck. And if you don't know who Zergo Helm Smasher is, don't feel bad. I don't either.
If your deck gets under 55 cards, it blows up. Oh, come on. No speed. No love for the speed joke.
Speed joke? I don't get it. Oh.
Oh, there we go.
That's awful.
Slow roll on
now,
that
you know, the only deck you could put that in is a Battle of Wits deck, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, there was a speed joke. I had to take it. Go on.
Why is there a speed joke?
Okay. You know the movie Speed?
I am aware that there was a movie named Speed.
Okay. Well,
the deck name.
The deck is Speed. All right.
Wow, that's bad.
And that's why I had to mention Battle of Wits to make him twitch for a minute. But Zergo Helm Smasher is the following. He costs 2, a red, a white, and a black. Wedges. He is a legendary orc. Orc, I say, not org, not ogre, none of that. He's an orc warrior. He's a 7-2. He has haste. He attacks if able. He's indestructible as long as it's your turn. And he has the Singer Vampire ability. He gets a +1/+1 counter when somebody damaged by him dies. Pretty cool, huh?
In that sense that this card is kind of unplayable.
Dude, it's going to be awesome in Speed versus Cunning. Trust me on this.
Just so long as it's always your turn.
Exactly. So
he's good until you say go.
Well, I mean, he lives a turn, right?
I suppose he does have haste right away. So yeah, I guess he should do about 7 points of damage. And then he dies to pretty much every piece of removal out there.
Which the Cunning deck may or may not have, so.
That's very true. They probably have instant speed bounce, so he doesn't matter that he's indestructible at all. So he's probably even worse.
He might die to Wrath of God, Rolling Earthquake, Living Death, Cataclysm.
No, those cards aren't in there.
I know they're not, but.
Hey, that reminds me. I don't actually know what Rolling Earthquake is. I know it was from a Portal set, but I never actually looked it up. So now I'm going to look it up.
Pretty sure it's the cover band.
So Rolling Earthquake deals X damage to each creature without horsemanship. Oh my god. Each player and each creature without horsemanship. Are you kidding?
So it is Earthquake, except for horsemanship.
It's the Portal Three Kingdoms. Yeah. Earthquake.
Yeah. That is totally going in my horsemanship flanking phasing commander deck.
Banding?
Oh yeah, banding. Let's put some banding in there too.
Yeah, why not? Alright then. If you want to know what any of those things are,
go listen to Judge Cast.
Bother your local judge. They love it when you ask them those questions. This is what they live for.
So, more announcements. The new Commander decks have been announced for November 7th.
Let me stop you right there. Yay for new Commander decks. Go on.
They are monocolored.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Was that a yay or a boo? Or was that just a what?
That was a what.
Okay, so they're monocolored EDH decks. And they revealed two of the cards. One of them is a black creature. The other one is a blue planeswalker. Teferi is a planeswalker.
What?
Again.
But he's dead.
Well, see, lots of people, like, I saw, who was it? Oh, it was Dr. Jeebus. I saw him losing his mind about flavor and whatnot. And no one cares. Because it's a commander set. It's not, let's go Star Wars here. It's not canon. This is the commander set. Here's some cool stuff.
I would argue that Magic doesn't need to be linear. You know, maybe this is Teferi from before being dead Teferi.
Yeah.
And he was a time traveler. Like, come on.
I wouldn't think too much about it either way because he's a downpowered planeswalker and whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, well, Morrow has said this is pre-mending Teferi, but if you look at his abilities, they're not very pre-mending. Although, yeah, let's talk about those abilities, shall we?
Okay, well, hey, Clues, you love blue so much. Why don't you read the Teferi for us?
Do you actually want to hear me sigh in disgust multiple times? Is that what you want?
Actually, that is exactly what I wanted, yeah.
Because I totally object to all kinds of things that are on this card.
Yeah, that's why we need you to do it, so we can have it for the soundboard for when you're
not. All right, Teferi, Temporal Archmage. Archmage? Archmage. Arcbound Mage. Teferi.
Archmage.
Archmage.
Archimedes, yeah.
Temporal Archimedes. He is 4 blue-blue for a 5 loyalty planeswalker. Okay, plus 1. Look at the top 2 cards of your library. Put 1 into your hand and 1 on the bottom of your library.
So what is that? Sleight of hand?
Sleight of hand.
That seems good.
Minus 1. Untap up to 4 permanents.
That seems vaguely broken.
He could cost as little as blue-blue, but you might have better things to do.
He could cost as little as 2.
Good point. Good point. Okay. Minus 10. And I'm reading the notes here, not the actual card.
Would you like me to read the actual card?
Yeah, read the actual card. I don't have it up.
Yeah. So, minus 10, you get an emblem with, quote, you may activate loyalty abilities of planeswalkers you control on any player's turn anytime you could cast an instant. Close quote.
Judge!
Good God.
Can I do this on my turn and on his turn?
Sadly, yes.
But, does that mean I can use it 2 times in 1 turn cycle?
Yes. Although turn cycles don't exist, stop using that term.
I want to use turn cycles because I can, because I know that judges love it.
Oh, yeah, we love it so very much. Yeah, this is just wrong. This is just, look. Okay, we're not done with problems that I have with this card yet, because those are 3 abilities, and you might think, oh, Clue, so there's a 4th ability. No, there's a 4th thing.
Yeah, okay.
Written at the bottom of the card for no reason that I can possibly fathom.
Which,
Teferi...
Wait. I found hilarious that several people over the course of the of me randomly talking about it at this PTQ... missed the last line and had to double and in one particularly funny case triple take it.
Teferi, Temporal Archmage, can be your commander. Now, before you all get up in arms and say, but wait, surely the Rules Committee will never allow that. Yeah, too late. The Rules Committee totally allowed that. This has been vetted by the Rules Committee. This is A-okay by the folks.
So is that 100% like, are we waiting for an FAQ or has somebody come out and said that that's the way it works?
Someone has said that is totally the way this works and we have talked to the Rules Committee. So if your local group wants to ban that, and I encourage you to, go ahead. But as far as the, you can't see the scare quotes, the organized EDH folks, he can totally be your commander. Now I've heard rumors, and I don't know that it's actually true. I've heard rumors that all 5 of the commander decks will all have a planeswalker that will have that line.
They do. It's in the commander announcement today.
Man, that is just messed up.
Well, specifically, here's the sentence, which I can't think of another way to read it, but it goes, also, for the first time ever, Planeswalker Commanders will headline 5 monocolored 100-card Commander decks.
There we go. Oh, so, my God, Squee, you're getting your own commander. You're getting your own planeswalker card.
Maybe I could totally see it being Jaya Ballard, though. I really could.
Yeah, I suspect it.
Yeah, that makes way more sense.
I think the white one's going to be Sarah.
We all have our hopes and dreams here, and then we're all just going to be sad when it's another Ajani.
No. I'm going to go with Sidar Jabari.
Now, I have heard, I don't know if this was conjecture or if this was something actually said at the panel, but I have heard something about the Planeswalkers all being former legendary creatures. So I don't think it'll be Sarah, because she was never a legendary creature. If that is something I've heard before.
Yeah, see, I heard that it was just going to be pre-mending Planeswalkers that never had Planeswalker cards.
Hmm. I'd be down with
that. Is Teferi a Planeswalker?
Oh, yeah.
Teferi was a Planeswalker, yes.
He was the man.
So who do we have for other Planeswalkers pre-mending?
Squee
was never a Planeswalker, was
Squee.
He?
Squee. Look, if we say it enough, people will believe it.
That's true. Squee.
Slowbad could have actually been the Goblin Planeswalker. Slowbad was a Planeswalker for a very short amount of time.
That's true. There's Lord Windgrace, whoever he is. I know he lived in Urborg.
I don't think that Jaya was ever technically a Planeswalker, but if you look at Jaya's card, Jaya Ballard Taskmage, she was totally a Planeswalker.
I'm pretty sure she was actually a Planeswalker, too.
I thought so.
Maybe.
I think that's how she taught Chandra how to do stuff.
I mean, Jessica was a Planeswalker, too.
Yeah.
You know, the chick who became Phage.
Just... Yeah. Oh, man, Planeswalker Phage.
That would be awesome.
So
if many ways to instantly lose the game. It'll be great.
If I could go back to Teferi for a minute, I want to talk about the design space that we're probing here with Planeswalkers. So what did we know about Planeswalkers 6 months ago? 6 months ago, Planeswalkers were, you know, these things. The Jace one was usually broken, and you could activate them once per turn only when you could cast a sorcery, period, yep. End of story.
Yeah.
Then they gave us the Chain Veil. So now you have the ability to actually activate them multiple times per turn if you want to and you have the mana. Go right ahead. You can do that. Feel free. So we just took one of the big restrictions of a Planeswalker and we just broke it.
Yep.
But we could still only do it on our own turn at sorcery speed. And so with Teferi, they took another piece of the Planeswalker, of the things we knew about them, and just broke that too. But at least, that bastard wasn't going back to the command zone every single frickin' time. So if you could just get rid of it, everybody's happy. But now, we can make it your damn commander. Now, okay. I'm not saying that we can't probe these design spaces at some point, but to probe them all at once seems extreme. And I'm a little worried that what we're slowly doing is we're changing this from Magic to Planeswalker the game.
So I guess my first point would be is even in EDH, I can't imagine a place where, like, I don't even think this ultimate is going to be used much. Like, I'm going to guess at the end of the year, there will probably be like 100 activations of that Planeswalker worldwide.
That would be like at least 25 of them will come from doubling season cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, okay, excluding doubling season.
Oh.
I guess doubling season is the answer to this thing. I don't know why people still play that card. It shouldn't be a thing that is allowed. I know you ban all of the cards that are the cards that abuse the engines and you leave the engines is like the way that EDH operates. You know, don't get rid of the cards that actually cause the problems. Get rid of, you know, it's like treating the symptoms all the time. So I guess that's kind of a thing, but I don't think this is a big deal. Like, if I cast this Teferi guy, like, if I'm plus one and I'm doing it wrong. Like, he is a mono blue. He's giving you ramp. I disagree with the minus one because I don't feel like it's in blue's part of the color pie. I understand untapping permanents is something that blue does, but all the cards that untap permanents don't do it in a way that you can gain a mana advantage without doing something, you know, on the other side of it. So it's like a high tide or some sort of like ramp thing there. The untapping one for one all of a sudden becomes better. But you got your, Palancrons and that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. Like this card here, just being able to do it over and over and over again is kind of super abusable. It feels too green. So.
Yeah, only untap forests.
Yeah,
that's
like
a thing.
So that's like this guy here. Like I just, if I'm casting him, I'm using his minus ability.
Now,
using his minus ability. If I plus one him five times, I deserve to be able to do ridiculous stuff with planeswalkers that I'm probably not going to play.
flavor-wise, his minus one is kind of cool. He's essentially just rewinding time.
That's flavor. Yes. He's top down. I would agree that he's top down.
However, so, I do agree with the criticism, because there was criticism from some people that having ignoring the fact that having him as a commander is wrong, in my opinion, having the text on the card that says that people object to, because it just doesn't look right.
Do you get upset when kids walk on your lawn, too?
Me? Yeah, I'm old.
Yeah, because you're being like an old man about this. Like, well, every time a Planeswalker is released, everybody's like, wouldn't it be so cool if I could use that as my commander?
No.
All it means is that WotC's actually listening to people for a change.
Well, okay,
everybody. This is a cool dude that you can use as a commander in like an odd spot. This is totally going to be like last week.
No, it's still not. So I don't necessarily object to that being written on the card, although it does look kind of odd because there's extra text that's not an ability, which is strange on a Planeswalker card.
Garrick had it.
Yeah, Garrick. That was strange.
Flippy Garrick had extra text that wasn't an ability. Oh, they put that at the top where it should have been.
Point taken. I just object. Okay, so what is one of the things we know about Commander? Commander, your general has to be a legendary creature.
Teferi was a legendary creature.
But this isn't a legendary creature. It says it right there on the type line.
If you have two Teferis in play, one of them has to leave, bro.
That would be nice. Except now, if they're on opposite sides of the table, that's A-okay.
Hey, now you can have time traveler, okay?
The game doesn't have to be linear.
You can have two Teferi on your side of the table now.
That's right. One just has to be the creature who should have been your
time traveler. Time traveler. It's all explained. Planeswalker. Don't you guys watch Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Do you realize who you're talking to?
Who practically invented bow ties.
Is it that you think we reached back through time to get you?
I don't know.
Clues is actually a Time Lord.
It was my TARDIS. So are we going to talk about the black card at all?
I've had some man take me into a telephone booth. Hey, yo!
Go get him, Superman. Yeah, the black card is actually pretty neat, in my opinion.
Yes.
It's Gulcolor, is it Geesa?
I think it's Geesa.
Yeah, Gulcolor Geesa, because that sounds pretty awesome anyway. She's 3BB. She's obviously a legendary creature, human wizard. 3/4. Black and tap, sacrifice another creature, put X 2/2 black zombie creature tokens onto the battlefield where X is the sacrificed creature's power. There's a few things to note.
Where is she from, folks?
She is from Innistrad.
That's right.
She is a flavor character, and I appreciate her finally having a card.
And she also appears in Duels 2015.
Oh, wait, does she?
Yes.
Neat. Cool, yeah. Like, I just remember her from all the flavor, like those like letters and stuff like that, like all the stuff that they were putting out pre-Innistrad. Yeah. That was at like the Seattle party. They were referenced her a lot, so
she got a card. And Geralf of Messenger fame, they were essentially the necromancer siblings of the set. Yes. So all the black zombie stuff was generally related to her, and all the blue like Frankenstein-y zombies are related to Geralf. And they appeared in a bunch of flavor texts, but they kind of had that Jaya Ballard thing going where you see them mentioned all the time, but they didn't actually get cards. So she's finally got a card here, and her card's actually pretty neat because they didn't specify sacrifice a non-token creature.
Yep.
So you can make your black zombie token, and then you can crack it open and make more black zombie tokens because she doesn't care. And that's just fun.
So I want to have a card that triggers off of a creature coming into play that creates some sort of like triggered ability, and then have like some sort of thing where you can sack a creature to get a black mana.
Oh man, only Intruder Alarm existed.
And then Intruder Alarm. And then you can do some sort of infinite thing that does infinite things.
Infinite zombies.
Probably infinite zombies, yeah.
But I would sack those zombies.
Infinite zombies.
Or infinite zombies, yes. I need infinite mana to make infinite zombies. I'm so confused.
It's okay, time travel does
that
to you.
I guess a Bird of Paradise is a card.
You could do that too.
Never heard of it.
Okay.
You won't get any zombies out of that.
No. I wouldn't kill the Bird of Paradise. I'd like to keep that one.
So, let's see here. Okay,
yeah,
so
these are monocolored commander decks. So, of note, before we wander away from it, they've clarified that each new deck has 15 new cards. So, on top of all the other cards in it.
So, the question is, how much are these things going to go for when they spoil the true name Nemesis of the set?
$34.99 at your local Target.
Yes, that is a good point.
When they show up at Target?
Are you guys able
to find them at Target?
Oh yeah.
I got, I think, 4 copies of the True Name Nemesis deck. I forget what its actual name was.
Uh, uh, something. Mine sees.
Mine sees.
Yeah, got one next.
I picked up three of them at Target.
I have been
this
hunting.
This is the reason no one else got any at Target.
Two of them.
Okay, one at a time, you two.
No. Okay, you go.
Oh, I was just saying that Clues is the reason that no one else got them at that Target.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's totally
thanks,
me.
Clues.
You're welcome.
What happened here was that the really...
I waited months.
The really high-end demand one disappeared pretty quickly because people like Clues showed up and got four of them for Legacy. And Target's not going to restock until they run out of all of them. So, like, your Bant one is going to sit there for 7 months.
Yeah, I know that they started re-releasing them where the case that they came in came with two Mindseas. But I heard that one just randomly gets dropped in each case. So, like, my local game store has a ton of Mindseas that they still, like, mark up crazy, but they have none of the one that has Unexpectedly Absent in it. So they've marked that one up crazy now. Hmm. So I don't think that worked out as intended.
I think the fact that each of these is going to have a unique Planeswalker might up the interest in all of them regardless of Legacy potential, because people love Planeswalkers like crazy. So it might even itself out this go-round.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Okay, so enough of Commander. They also had a bunch of news about the upcoming set, Khans of Tarkir.
Yeah, that's where that Borzov guy's from, right?
Did you just say Borzov?
Yeah.
No.
Borzov.
Bad.
That's what they call it when it's red, white, and black, right?
No,
that's what
people
I call it, but it's wrong.
It's totally wrong. It's awful.
Why is it wrong?
It's awful.
Everyone uses Borzov.
No, I say Borzov all the time. It was my favorite archetype in Gatecrash.
Absolutely. Borzov is great. There's no need to change the name Borzov. They should, or Daga. Daga's fine.
Yeah, Daga's fine. Or
no reason to switch away from that.
As I keep hearing from people, what was the dragon printed in those colors?
I couldn't tell you.
Damn it.
Newspaper.
Oh, well. That wasn't Oros the Avengers color, was it?
I really couldn't tell you.
I am doing everything possible to talk about the new names of the three color wedges.
And they are trying their
and
best
you
not
are
to.
Just not.
No. Well, one, okay, please, so please. When I read the new names off to Mike, because I had the smartphone, you know, Mike goes, what in the hell is all of that? But yeah, so the new set will be the new set, not block, the new set will be the wedge set.
Yes, because that was one of the very interesting things, was that it's not going to be, as much as this is wedged base, the whole block is not wedged base.
Right. So, I don't know, somebody tell me what color this is if you have it handy, because I'm going over to Morrow's handy-dandy pronunciation guide.
Sure, you pick a thing and we'll tell you the colors.
All right, so first up is Abzan.
That is green, black, white, formerly junk.
Okay, green, black, white is now Abzan. Abzan.
Hey.
You know, of the names, I think this one's the weakest.
Really? I kind of like that one.
It sounds Abzan? Like a cleaning product.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
Okay.
Because what colors was it?
Junk.
Well, yeah, that's the color that'll clean up every mess that you could possibly make. Those three colors have the ability to clean it up.
Doran.
Abzan.
See? All right.
I actually wish they just straight up called it Doran, but I can learn Abzan, given time.
Next up is Jeskai.
Which is America.
America.
America. So, red, white, blue. Okay. I was like, America.
Denny's pancakes.
Gotcha. Next up is Sultai.
Bug.
Which has gotta be better than, actually, no, it's not. Nope. Next up is Mardu.
Which is white, red, black.
Borzov.
Borzov.
Damn it.
Mardu. Mardu mid-range.
Mardu mid-range. Yeah,
That doesn't really...
And the last one is Teemer.
Which is Rug.
Which, that is the one that I actually like Rug better, because Teemer.
It's pronounced Teemer, not Temer.
It says T-E-A, Mer, rhymes with her, so it's Teemer.
Yeah, it rhymes with lemur. And that's why I like it, because it rhymes with lemur. So I'm just going to call it lemur from now on.
Okay.
What is ab as in can? What does that mean?
The way A is pronounced, ab, can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it and Zan rhymes with man, but not can.
Yeah, I get that.
So it's can Zan man ab.
Junk. It is junk.
Basically, Morrow wrote this out like in a hurry. I think he was like, "Oh crap, done. Submit or post or whatever you say on Tumblr, stupid Tumblr." So.
So these are the five clans.
Yes.
Right.
The wedges. Now the two color combinations were guilds. The three color combinations we already have were the shards. Now we have clans to cover the other three coloreds, which formerly known as wedges, I'm sure eventually we will start calling them clans. And eventually all five of these will just roll off the tongue like nothing.
I don't know. Like, dude, Jund and Bant and everything like that, they were well put together. They sound, they're...
We got used to saying Grixis, buddy.
Yeah, did they sound right at the time, though? That was before my time, so I don't know. Like was there...
Grixis was the one that was kind of the weirdest one. I thought Esper was fine, like, but this is just Abzan?
Let's just be clear. We're going to be calling it Azkaban for a while. This is just going to be Azkaban Control. It's going to be great. Everyone will have fun.
I think it's going to be junk, because Abzan is junk.
Well, the thing is, we're going to keep calling it things like that, but newer players aren't. And
you know who's not
going to
be calling
it
like that?
Clues?
Star City Coverage.
No. Yeah, they will. They will eventually.
I encourage everyone who's listening that if you are watching one of their things and they refer to it as Abzan, that you remind them. Or if they refer to it as junk, that you remind them via Twitter that it's Abzan and they should be using the correct terminology.
So are you encouraging them to remind them no matter which one they use, tell them the other?
Yes, I am encouraging them to troll Star City Games.
Okay, that's fair.
I am okay with this.
At any rate, names aside, those are the names they're going to use for the wedges. These are the five clans that are going to appear in Khans of Tarkir. And each of the clans is associated with an aspect of the extinct dragons that used to be on Tarkir.
Oh my god, we're getting more dragons.
Maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
Because right now we're just getting dead dragons.
For sure.
Yeah, so right now...
Not this set, but this block.
Yeah, dragons on Tarkir are extinct, but they said that there is a time travel element to this block. So, just like there is to this episode... Memory. By the way, Clues, don't forget to wipe Schofield's memory before we send him back.
Oh, don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I think it's noteworthy that they've attributed a word for each of their aspects, which I assure you will be appearing on the boxes you get at the pre-release.
Oh, yeah.
That's just what they do now.
Oh, my
God. Oh, look, the pre-release.
Those who listen to my show will know that I have some strong opinions about pre-release boxes.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, so I really hope there isn't pre-release boxes.
Sorry, buddy.
Dude, have you not read this? So,
No. I want to hear his natural reaction. Go ahead and tell him what's going on.
Okay, so hey, Jeremy, does one of your problems with the seated booster pre-release box things come from the fact that everyone playing some color has the same bomb in their deck?
Nope. I actually don't mind that. What I dislike is the fact that those bombs are different and have varying power levels.
Okay, that works. So that means that, you know, only a lucky few at the M15 pre-release got to play black.
Yeah. Black, white, red. I got forced into playing blue, and I did really well with my four-color deck that didn't have blue, beating up everyone in what we affectionately called the blue bracket, which in any other sport would be called the loser's side. So I was crushing my blue bracket at my pre-release with all the other people who were blue.
That is pretty funny.
Yes.
Well, you will be happy to know then that they have... They hope, and we hope with them, fixed that problem with the cons pre-release.
Oh, and how's that?
So now, instead of everyone getting, like, let's say you pick green.
Yes.
Instead of everyone in the green getting the same ridiculously overpowered green rare to put in their deck, now there is a possibility of getting one in eight pre-release green cards. So now... There are eight for each color, so there are 40 pre-release cards.
Are they different artwork?
I don't think they've said.
Hopefully.
My guess would be
if there is 40 pre-release cards per set.
Yeah, some people call those rares.
Like, rares,
you get one a pack,
but
it'll be great.
Alternate art foils, like how they went from one pre-release card to five pre-release cards. Now if they're going to go to 40 pre-release cards, they just hate my wallet.
Okay, wait, let's think about this. For the past couple of sets, let's see, we've had the boxes since Return to Ravnica, so for the past 2 years we've been doing the box thing.
Yes.
But we haven't always been doing the promo thing until...
The same time.
Was it the same time? Did we get to play with the... Yeah, we did. We did. Yeah, You're right.
That was the first time we were allowed to.
Okay, so for 2 years, we had 5 extra cards per set. Now, 2 years later, we're going to 40 extra cards per set. I think within about 4 years, you'll have an entire duplicate set of pre-release foil promo cards.
Artists gotta eat, man.
That it will be, it's just everything in your pre-release box, all of those cards are alternate art foils of the actual set.
So the main thing to take away from this is that they've essentially taken those seeded booster packs and they made the rare in it your pre-release card, because there are always 8 of each of those two. And this is their way of doing seeded booster packs without giving like anyone a distinct advantage or disadvantage. I think it's about as good as they're going to get if they want to keep doing seeded packs.
See, the tough part, though, is, like, if we looked at M15 using, like, the current set as an example, I still think nobody picks blue.
I think that when there are 8 different cards of each one, one might be better than the rest, but you're picking a color on the grounds of, I actually think that color is better, rather than, I want that promo. Because you've got a 1-in-8 shot of getting the promo you want, which isn't that different from any other time you open a pack.
Well, let's throw a monkey wrench in here, because they're also going to have, in your box, you will get a clan pin. So you're going to get a collectible pin.
So, oh my goodness, so you got to play in 5 pre-releases now.
Yep. Not only that, but I'm not really sure how they're going to pull this off overseas, because there's actually a difference between pins and buttons for export licenses.
Wow.
Didn't they do this before with the Ravnica stuff?
That's why those were buttons.
Yeah, so they're probably going to be buttons then, too. They might have just used bad wording here.
It's possible.
I can't imagine they're going to actually put themselves in that situation, since they've already done it once. Essentially, we're just getting Return to Ravnica again, only dragon-themed and with more promos. And that sounds exactly like what the Wizards marketing department has been telling people they should do for a long time, and here we are. Because dragons sell sets.
I like dragons.
Like, I gotta say, I'm not 100% against the box.
I am.
In the sense that everything comes in a box, and it's something that you can hand out to people very easily. I just hate when the contents of the box are so structured. Like, if it was a box that had 6 booster packs in it, I would just lose my mind.
Give this man a cookie. I love it.
You know, like, just make it simple. Like, the guilds thing was awesome. Did a great job. When Theros came along, it was like, okay, you guys are kind of getting lazy, but whatever, that's cool. And then M15 came by, and it's like, no, this is just straight up complacency. This is a team that just doesn't have an original idea anymore.
Alternatively, it's a team that found a way to get people like you to go to 5 pre-releases. You just said right there, 5 buttons? Oh, I've got to go to 5 pre-releases, and that's exactly what they're counting on.
But that's the thing, is even I don't. I'll say that, but I won't.
You're more likely to go to 5 pre-releases when they do this than they are normally.
I guess so, but like...
I mean, I don't like it either.
It's kind of like, how many shiny baubles can they put in front of me before my just absolute distaste for how it plays out overwhelms it?
I think that's the thing,
is that I'm going to kind of do it to get the pins, but then I'm going to complain about it. So it's kind of like, they're going to kill the golden goose. That's just kind of where I think they're going with it, like... You want to do a color box? That's great. Don't put on outside what it is. Give me an unmarked box, and it'll have a color on the inside. You've joined this guild. You were born into it. Sucks to be you.
Sorry, you got blue.
Yeah, you just got blued.
Isn't that what you were just complaining about?
No, that's the thing. The tough part, okay, so my problem with the blue thing, blue is the weakest color. And you know what? Some people love blue. And some people want to go there and try and get some practice for upcoming events. And that's where I was at. So I wanted to play with some of the tougher, the stronger colors because I wanted to understand those things. I wanted to go and win. And the tough part was, is I sat there and I went in. And my negative experience came from the fact that they asked me, hey, do you want blue or do you want green? I said, hey, you know what? I don't really want to play blue. I'll play green. I got there a little bit later and that's okay. But the way that everything's all set up and the way that the particular store ran it, they allowed people to change their mind as the process was going on. So a lot of the people who had picked blue, they went by a list and everything like that. I just happened to be at the bottom of the list because of where my name fell in the alphabet. By the time it came to me, the only deck that was left was blue, even though I had already locked in for a color before I signed up. And, like, that's the thing. Like, is that the store's problem? Kind of. But this whole problem breeds into that. So it's like, you know, you're trying to say it's like, oh yeah, you know, you got to go and you got to have a good time and it's got to be inclusive for everybody and stuff like that. But it's like, if all of like the top sharks in the place get there early and get the best deck and stuff like that, they're just going to go around and pound on people. And if it was a box where it was just a case of like, you don't know who you are, and when you get in there, like, make it some sort of team building thing. Like, you want to be building community, do a thing like the old Ravnica thing where it was like, you joined a guild and the first guild to get there got a special promo or something like that. Do that, but don't let people pick their teams. You know, you get a random team when the event starts, and now all of a sudden, like, maybe there's something that they can do to get you talking to other players in your guild. Like, wouldn't that be really cool to actually get it to the point where it's like deck building is done, and then there's like some reason for all of the different whatever you call them, clans to get together and talk about something or do something together? That would be really cool. Maybe like do like a clan. What was that set called where it was 3 against 1 or 4 against 1? What was that thing called?
Arch Enemy.
Arch Enemy.
Arch Enemy. Have like an Arch Enemy thing. So you know how like they're putting the Garruk in the Garruk or what? I don't even know what you call them anymore. Everybody keeps complaining.
G-Dog.
They put that card in there that you fight against. It was like fight the Hydra and stuff like that. What if they had like an arch enemy fight the Hydra type thing like that was clan related? So now all of a sudden you've got these random boxes. You open up the box. You got to find 2 other people inside your clan to go together and do this so that you can get your shiny pin. Don't give the pins out for free. Make them work for it. Make them work with people they don't know for it even better.
Can I name this episode clan-related violence?
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Okay, some other things before we wander off from this topic, some other things we should be aware of for cons. So first of all, it is going to be a large, small, large block, and drafting is going to be a little different than what you're used to. We'll start by drafting 3 packs of cons of Tarkir.
I can do that.
Then, once Dewey drops, because this is Huey, Dewey, Louie, once Dewey drops, it will be 2 cons and 1 Dewey. Okay, so far, so good. Then, 2 and 1? It's 2 and 1.
Yeah, yeah, okay, that makes sense, right, yeah.
When Louie drops, it'll be 2 Louie, 1 Dewey, no cons.
What?
Yep.
So, Dewey is really the transition one.
Dewey is the transition one, yes.
And after, say, the end of January, or rather, I guess after the end of, about after the end of January when the next set comes out. No, that's the second one. After the end of the second set, whatever. When the third one comes out, we're going to stop getting the first one in, so that's when the value of those cards is going to become a little more stable, because all the drafters are going to stop getting them.
And they're also shifting the release schedule a little bit. So our releases for these sets will be September, January, and March, as opposed to February and April. But it does take that, you know, I've always felt that there was this kind of long time period in the fall, between the fall and Christmas, when you had just that set, and that bled over into January. And you didn't have the new set until February. And then just as you were getting used to the new set in February, you almost immediately had another new set. And just when you were getting used to that, you had the core set hit. In between there, you might have had Modern Masters or Conspiracy or something else they're going to throw your way.
And I think that's exactly what this is.
And I think they're nudging it back so we can get a little more breathing room, so it's not quite so fast.
I think they're acknowledging that they're competing with themselves pretty badly when they release 3 sets in 3 months. Because that's what we're getting every time they add in something like Modern Masters in the middle there.
Well, Modern Masters was a huge success. Modern Masters worked out great with them, but I think that they hurt themselves on Conspiracy pretty bad. Like, Conspiracy has not met the same areas, and I don't know if you guys talked about the shareholder meeting or whatever that they just recently had.
Yeah.
They had an investor meeting. Yeah. And they were talking about how their sales were flat from last year, and a lot of that is credited to the fact that Conspiracy just didn't do Modern Masters numbers.
Well, it may not have done Modern Masters numbers, but it definitely was not a complete flop, because Morrow, at this panel, actually answered a question about Conspiracy, said that it was actually a success from WotC's standpoint, whether it was from Hasbro's or not, I don't know, but that Conspiracy was a success and that they may have more future products like that.
Oh, absolutely.
So the idea of a multiplayer draft set, I think, is definitely back on the table. It would be interesting. Are they going to revisit the same setting? That I don't know. But that's still another topic. Let's get back to cons for a second, because I have great news for almost no one.
Yay! Wait.
Yay!
I might be in that group.
Morph is returning as a mechanic.
That is awesome.
Morph is amazing news.
Okay, here's why it's not amazing news.
Grumpy Judge Morph, Talk, go.
Grumpy Judge Talk, that's right. Morph is interesting. It is absolutely interesting. Great. You want to try and work with the whole Morph mechanic, fine. But here's the problem. There's this penalty. Failure to reveal. It's not really called... The nomenclature has changed some, but look, the point of the penalty is this. If at the end of the game you had a Morph creature out, you have to flip that thing over and prove to your opponent that it was a Morph creature and that you could legally do that. Yeah. If instead you pick that card up and shuffle it into your deck without showing him, you just got a game loss.
Yeah.
So we can look forward to like 2 years of awkward conversations about Morph.
Oh my God, Grumpy Judge. Or
at the beginning of our events, we can have an
announcement. Won't help.
Well,
you and I both know, look, Jeremy, you and I both know, it's just you and me talking here, you and I both know that Magic players don't actually listen to announcements that are made.
But that's a failure on us.
How is it a failure on us if we actually announce it and they don't listen to us?
Because we're boring. And
but
they
we're
don't
not.
Listen to us because
I give
they
great
don't.
Announcements.
Then we have to educate the player base. We have to maintain the integrity of the tournament.
Look, you guys taught them how to draft double-sided cards. I think you can figure this one out.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to derail this right now with amazing news.
Yes?
My roommate just handed me...
Yes?
...a banana pudding donut.
What?
I can die happy now.
Where did he find this product?
Where did you find this product? Krispy Kreme?
Those,
oh, my God.
Those diabolical geniuses at Krispy Kreme.
He said it's a summer
thing. My Krispy Kreme is 24 hours.
And Scott is eating a carrot cake one. Are you kidding me? Oh my God.
I feel like we might need to wrap this show up.
And you know what? This is one of those times when living right next to Winston-Salem is the most beautiful thing ever. You know what's based in Winston-Salem?
Cigarettes.
Krispy Kreme and cigarettes. Not
and
at the
NASCAR.
Same time, though.
Oh, no, NASCAR left.
No, NASCAR left. And Texas Pete. And punching. What? No. So if I'm quiet for a few minutes, that's why. But okay, enough Grumpy Judge talk. Let's talk about something else.
I was going to segue here.
Okay.
To the rest of the topic, which was Morph is a returning mechanic. There will be 5 other mechanics in Cons of Tarkir, one for each of the clans.
Yay, Return to Retina, wait.
Yay, Dragon's Maze. Wait, no.
Wait, hang on.
No one's ever said that. Stop inventing phrases, you crazy time traveler.
Zing.
So that's, is that all the news?
I think that's pretty much it from SDCC, except that some people got Nerf axes and those black Planeswalker cards.
I may have paid too much for them on eBay, and now I'm trying to sell cards on Facebook to make it so that when the credit
card comes
in, I get murdered by my wonderful wife.
Well, here's the thing, Jeremy. You could save yourself all that money in trouble, because later sometime, they're going to be going up on HasbroToyShop.com for approximately 3 minutes.
And you thought it was... like naive of me to suggest that we tell people at the beginning of event to remind them to flip over the morphs at the end of the game. You thought that was naive. The fact that you think that that can be purchased on their website is just the most naive thing.
There's a long history of them not actually getting posted on their website.
No. It went up on the website. It went up on the website twice. They had 2 waves last year. I had every bell and whistle set up so that the second it popped up on there, my phone got a notification, and I missed it. In the time it took me to see that they're up, they were gone.
The irony was intentional here.
Oh, well.
I was mostly being facetious. It doesn't matter that they're going up. We're still not getting any.
No. No, I did have a person tweet me saying that they were the lucky person who got that, because we had a chat about that. And, yeah. It was good for them. He was like, yeah, I managed to get it. It was the exact same thing. You know, he was on their Twitter account. And I guess they announced it right away on their Twitter account that it was going up. And he managed to get it. He said by the time that he had finished putting his purchase in, they were sold out. So
if you're trying to do that, can you get those without already having like a Hasbro account set up? Or should you just go ahead and make one of those now?
Yeah, the recommendations I've seen is you should set up an account now with your payment information and shipping address now, so that when you see it, you can just add it to the cart, buy it, and be done. Because if you can't do it that fast, forget about it.
Yeah, and what happened last time is a whole bunch of people tried to scam the system. Like, they managed to... They had, like, multiple computers putting the orders through at the same time, because obviously each, you know, account is limited to how many they can purchase.
Yeah, one, by the way. But not try and put more than one in your cart.
Yeah, so once everything was bought, instead of just sending everything out, they actually went through all of the orders and identified any multiples. So orders made from multiple accounts going to different or the same address and stuff like that. And they canceled all those orders and put those ones back in. So that was the second wave. So they went through, everyone did their order. If they caught anybody trying to cheat, they took away, canceled all their orders, and then they did another wave at that point.
So given you guys tried to do this last year, do they actually just put them in the exclusives category? Because they don't have a magic category.
No, it's exclusives. It's in the exclusives.
That's what I thought.
And it will actually have an entry in the store. That'll go up, but it'll show sold out. And that's what you're going to be kind of going on. So there's like a lot of like extensions you can get for like Chrome and stuff like that. That'll send you a notification when a page changes. And all you have to do is really just kind of teach that thing to ignore the ads. Because the ads will change over time. From there, then all you're doing is you're just waiting for it to have any sort of change on the site. So when it goes from out of stock to in stock or whatever, then that's when it'll notify you and you can roll the dice and see if you get it.
And this just happens like randomly in the middle of the day when we're at work.
Okay, guys.
Yeah. It's like trying to get a 3-day pass at PAX.
I was going to say, this is how I managed PAX passes.
We have now spent more time on this than we'll ever be able to actually buy it.
Correct. That's very true, yes.
So, since 1% of nobody is going to get these, let's move on to something that matters.
Great.
While you guys are trying to talk about buying ephemeral things that don't exist.
We spent a lot of time talking about Teferi's Alt, and no one's going to use it either.
Exactly. So, we're bad at this. Let's move on. We're like an hour and a half in, and we've covered one topic. So, there were some tournaments this weekend.
What?
You know, Clues, you and my roommate both did that at the same time, and I heard it in stereo. It was really weird.
Time travel does that.
Well, you are both Time Lords, I'm pretty sure, so that's a thing.
I know Scott is.
So, let's see. There was... What's first in the show notes? Is it Worcester?
Worcester.
Yes, Grand Prix Boston Worcester.
Boston Rooster.
Boston Rooster. Yes. And Robin... Dollar. How do you pronounce this guy's name? Does anybody know?
I don't know. All I know is that he's apparently a sicko who is going to become a common name. That's what I hear.
Yeah, I've heard this name before. So
this guy is a sicko, and the fact that now he's one of these things and he's going to the Pro Tour, we'll probably see a lot more of him.
Now, when you say sicko, you're saying this in a good way.
Yes. He's
good at this game.
Good at this game, the type of person you don't want to be seated across from.
That has very different connotation in Canada.
Yes.
Right, in a magical game.
So, what was he playing then? You guys are so smart.
He was playing New Reliable Rock with some white in it, is what I've been told.
That is, what is that called? Ab something? What do they call that now?
What's the colors?
Abzan. He was playing Abzan. Abzan mid-range.
Abzan. He was Abzan mid-range.
Okay, then. What is? I have not looked at these deck lists yet. My bad.
It's modern Jund, but you take out the red and you put in white instead.
Well, this has been around for a long time. Like,
yes,
this is nothing new.
No.
Okay. Good.
The new thing about it, if there's anything new about it, is for the 4-drop spot they went with a Garrick Wildspeaker.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay, wait, I do remember this now. Hang on. This was the Jund deck. You take out the red and you throw in Lingering Souls, right? Was that correct. Was the whole point?
Yes.
Yeah, because it beat the other Jund decks.
Right. Okay. This is back when the Jund deck was actually the boogeyman of modern.
And things like Infect were scaring people, and Lingering Souls does a very good job of tripping up Infect and tripping up Affinity. So it was strong in the Affinity matchup also, because it blocks things like Signal Pest very well.
Yeah, okay. I remember this now.
Yes.
Oh my god, I retained something.
Oh, yes. By the way, this is your weekly reminder that the top 8 deck lists are not in any particular order.
Still true.
A word. So, he was playing this, or as I saw someone call it, White Rock, and like Twitter exploded over how dumb the name White Rock is, so we're not going to call it that.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody knows it's Abzan.
Yeah.
Duh. So who got the second place? Because
that was Andrew Boswell.
Okay, and Andrew...
He was playing Jund.
Boswell is playing, like, Jund.
Yes.
Look, I see Olivia. Yay!
Yeah, Olivia's been one of the cards that's been like, it's very funny that Innistrad is kind of like the place where Jund was trying to find its four drop, because it was either Olivia or it was Huntmaster. Mm. And Huntmaster fell by the wayside, and Olivia kind of became the card. The big thing that you get from Red is just kind of like you get some really cool stuff to kill artifacts, like in that whole Affinity Mirror type thing like that. You've got access to the Shatterstorms, you got the Ancient Grudges and stuff like that. As much as white usually affords you better sideboard cards, red does have some very, very strong sideboard cards. Also having something like Sowing Salt to kind of hurt up the Tron matchup, or being able to hurt something like the Scapeshift matchup. So, and Lightning Bolt is a great card. I like
it. Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, well, who was third?
That was Philip Napoli with Infect.
One of the two Infect decks in the top eight.
Let's see, because these are not in order, I have to dig. Here he is. Oh, okay, yeah, this is a pretty standard Infect deck, it looks like. I still love that they play Wild Defiance every once in a while.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what... Okay, what deck... So what other decks are there? I'm just getting so sick of this.
Okay, so after our Abzan, Jund, and Infect, we've got, rounding out our top eight, Affinity, more Infect, I think another junk deck, and then I think this eighth deck is a Blue Moon deck.
Yeah, Blue Moon was in the top eight.
Whoa, I remember that too. Didn't that pop up while you were still on this show?
Yeah, I think so. I think Blue Moon was one of those things that kind of had came out. I think we were talking about the Blue Moon because it was having its kind of first showing. So the last time I was on was after the Pro Tour. We talked about what happened at the Pro Tour.
Right.
That sounds right. Because
Blue Moon had made its appearance at the Pro Tour.
That's what it was. Aha!
And an Edmontonian had won it.
I will take your word for that because I don't know what an Edmontonian is. It sounds painful,
though. A person
though.
Who's from the Edmonton.
Oh.
That still sounds like a medical procedure you have to have done. I've been watching a lot of House lately, so my bad.
I like how it has Keranos on the board. That just
well, that's
fun.
Keranos in Modern is a real thing.
Yeah,
he is a real card. That card is going to start seeing main deck play because it is in every sideboard that plays blue red, pretty much. Twin has been using it very effectively as like an alternate win condition, and now you're starting to see it creep into the control decks as a win condition, and it is just a very, very good card in Modern. Because it gives you the ability to just trade one for ones and keep your opponent's ability to like do anything in the game off while getting you card advantage and killing your opponent. So you can just hide behind a Keranos, just dirtle, and win the game.
Maybe I'll get into Modern.
Yeah, absolutely.
So far, Keranos has been successful at breaking the Wizards page that shows me previews of each card when I mouse over them.
It worked for me.
Okay.
Your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
Yeah. This would be a great list for you, Chewy. I think you'd have fun with this.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Nah, too many spell snares and mana leaks and remands and bleh.
But it's got shackles and batterskulls and snapcasters, oh my.
Yeah, none of those really sound like me. It's like you don't know me at all, sir.
Oh, I guess this is more of a clues deck then, right?
There we go.
Hey, you're the guy who bought four of the boxes with True Name Nemesis in it, so don't act like you don't love blue.
Yeah, look, when it was months after it released and I found him at Target, I'm like, hey, sure, we'll pick him up. I might run Merfolk again someday.
Yeah.
Which is actually, believe it or not a blue deck. Like, it plays blue, it's not a blue deck.
Does it have counterspells?
Yeah.
Are those counterspells either Pyroblast or Red Elemental Blast?
Well, you see, Clues, could run a textless Cryptic Command. In fact, you could run four of them.
God, Cryptic Command.
Textless. I wouldn't do that in Legacy, but I would definitely run Force of Will and potentially Daze.
Yeah.
And maybe even Misdirection.
All right. So, hey, you want to talk about the top five cards? Do we have that for GP Worcester?
We do.
Worcester.
No or care.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I like it better as Worcester. Hey, we do. Look at that. Top five cards.
Hey, look at that. Okay.
All right. Your top five cards for Grand Prix Kind of Boston. Number five is Birthing Pod, because it's Modern, had to have a Birthing Pod, even though no pod decks made top eight, is that right?
Not top eight. 32 players using it made day two.
All right. Number four, Blighted Agent, because unblockable Infect will never come to bite us, that's going to be just fine.
What could
happen? Well, putting blue in Infect was a smart thing to do. A lot of people, the original Infect decks you were seeing were either green or green-black. Blue-green kind of came up, had a little bit of stuff here and there, and then finally, in this event, has made its mark. So
this guy's the reason we don't get giant growth.
Yeah.
Number three is the affinity card that doesn't say infinity but totally thinks about it, Cranial Plating.
It's thinking it.
Because it totally cares about all your artifacts. Now, if only it had all those artifact lands, it'd be okay.
Yeah. So,
like, it's not broken enough as is.
Correct. Play Legacy, where Affinity is like a tier 2 deck. That's right.
Absolutely. And Cranial Plating almost feels like cheating. Like, I bet that a player like Burton Cheney just probably really seemed like he was cheating all weekend with this card.
So moving on.
Number two is Thrun, the last troll.
As opposed to Jeremy, the current troll.
Yes, that is absolutely
true. Time travel.
And number one is, speaking of time travel, we'll flash it back because it's that good. It is Lingering Souls.
Yeah,
that card is so good.
Did you guys, like, watch any of, like, this event? Like, did you see the Thrun with a Batterskull and a sword bashing against the guy with two Batterskulls back and forth?
That sounds ridiculous.
Like, watching a modern match where it was, like, Blue Moon versus, I think Boswell was playing this, and, like, having them be at, like, 40 life was just bizarre.
Does he say puny god every time he hits someone?
He should have.
It's due.
Yes.
I heard about, at the PTQ, a guy who got up to, he showed me his life total, 52. But it wasn't Batterskull. I can't remember what he said got him up that high. What the hell gets you up that high in modern?
Was he playing Soul Sisters?
No.
Really easy for Soul Sisters.
But yeah, because that wouldn't be news in Soul Sisters. He was like, "Hello, check out my life total." And it said 52. And I was like, that's not funny. He's like, I still lost. I'm like, what?
Huh. What would you play to do that?
I don't know.
Like a Warhammer, maybe?
Maybe he was just dirtling. I don't know.
Well, it couldn't be one of the Malira Kitchen Face combos. Because you just go to a bajillion life, right? You wouldn't actually stop at like 50. You'd go to like 1,000.
But you could totally, like, have a game stall out in that. Like, if you were doing, like, some sort of Revelark nonsense with, like, a Spike Feeder and all kinds of stuff like that. Like, Spike Feeder and Gavinny Township and sacking Kitchen Finks and stuff like that. Like, you could have, like, some sort of weird life engine that didn't actually go infinite because you were just missing the wrong piece or something.
You know what? I think it was Spike Feeder. Anyway.
I was going to say, I need somebody to make a deck called Weird Life Engine, because I think that's an awesome name.
That is
an
awesome. It's like a card. It's like a terrible life gain card that we'd play anyway, because it looks awesome.
That's actually, that's got to be the name of a Kaijudo card. I started playing Kaijudo, and all of their cards are just like that.
I was going to say it was a cover band name, but...
Yes, it could definitely be a cover band name. That's a
That'd be a hell of a name for a band. So, while we're on Modern, I was at a Modern PTQ, as I said, at Lucky's in Greensboro, North Carolina, where I didn't actually witness it, but Todd Anderson won against local hero Mohit, and he was playing the Affinity, I do believe.
Todd Anderson won with Affinity?
I think someone said he was playing Affinity. Like I said, once the rounds were over and the top eight started, we went to get celebratory Mexican food. And then we hung out in the parking lot shooting the breeze, and then we went in after Todd won to give Mohit our condolences because we were really pulling for him because he's not Todd Anderson.
Yeah. So but Todd Anderson seems like a decent human being.
Well, nowadays, yeah. Back in the day, less so. And actually, part of our conversation out in the parking lot was how, okay, this is going to make me sound bad, but it's just through years of experience. When I meet a Magic player by being paired against them, like, if that's the first time I meet them, the vast majority of the time, I just tolerate those people. Very rarely, I cannot stand those people. And even more rarely, I really like them. And Mohit was one of those guys that I very, very rarely really liked while being matched against him. So we were all, and now he's a local guy, you know, that we see relatively frequently. So we were really pulling for him, but apparently he fought hard but didn't quite make it, so... I guess congrats to Todd Anderson for making to the next Pro Tour if he wasn't already invited? And if he was, why the hell was he playing?
I don't think that he had an invite to the Pro Tour.
Oh, well, there you go then. I'm sure
he
will.
He's one of those guys who's like really good and does really well in the Star City thing and has like, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. But I don't think like he's a get there all the time guy. And then there's that whole aspect of unless you're platinum, you don't get paid flights. So you can get invited to the Pro Tour, but you might have to get there. And you can't blame a guy for trying to get a plane ticket.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he will do better articles before and after than Mopit would have, since I don't think he writes anywhere, much less Star City. So,
yeah.
All right, then.
Cool.
Enough of that. So, speaking of Star City, we're not going to talk about them yet. There was another GP.
Hold on. We do have to make one quick note about GP Boston.
Oh, right.
The prize payout. So originally it was announced that the attendance was over 2,400, which changes the prize payout. As it turns out, it was not over 2,400. The final count was, I think, 2,394, according to this press release. However, WotC has decided we are going to go ahead and prizes out as if it were a 2,400 player GP. So that means prizes down to 150th place.
And why is that?
Because it was announced that it was over 2,400.
Yeah, it's because they screwed up and people were making decisions based on the prize payout of that, and then it wasn't that. But because they screwed up, they said, okay, we'll give it to you anyway.
Well,
this is giving me the ability to dagger Mr. Scotty back.
Okay, first off, one at a time. So, nope. Jeremy, go.
They did it because it gives me the ability to dagger Mr. Scotty Mack.
Somehow I doubt that.
He was excited that he cashed his first day two at a GP, and he was like 121st place. So I'm going to tell him that it's all a sham and a lie, and that he shouldn't have cashed, and that it's a pity cash and it's not worth anything.
Well, okay then.
Which is all true. So, Bill, what were you going to say?
It's not that they screwed up so much as it's that the numbers that they announced before were people pre-registered, but not all of them showed up, and that was enough to drop it under. I mean, mind you, I don't know if they announced 2,400 when they had like 2,406, but when the other people don't show up, they don't get counted in the final count. So,
right.
It's kind of something that they probably didn't have to do. I'm glad they did it. It's still a lot better than, say, our city-run GP Charlotte, where they only paid out the top 64 out of, 3,000 people.
Let me tell you who I feel really sorry for, though, and that is Mike Sist. He was 151st place.
Oh, okay. There's always a guy whose life sucks. And that's Boston.
That is Boston.
Yes, technical issues aside, that's Boston. So, there was another event, a Grand Prix in Taipei, which somehow closed while we were typing. I must have tried to close something else. Lord.
Everyone was disqualified for only having 40 cards in their deck. Next event.
Yes. But let's see. Taipei was
M15
sealed.
Sealed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was won by, Hometown Hero. Look at that. It says it right here in big letters. Huang Haoshan. Hope I pronounced that not too bad.
He is an awesome dude. Doesn't speak a ton of English, but he was with Team Face-to-Face Games back at Pro Tour Return to Ravnica, and I think he also did Dragon's Maze as well with them, or no, Gatecrash with them, and then kind of went off and did his own thing from there. But really, good player, really nice guy, just stand-up individual, really excited to see him do well.
So even though he's a nice guy, you're going to put him out there with those Canadians. That's awful.
What are you talking about?
I have to rag on them because they stole you from me, so,
Well, not those specific Canadians.
Whatever.
We're not all the same, you know.
That's true. Some of you, like Boosh, are on the Community Cup team.
Boosh isn't on the Community Cup team.
Oh, but I really wish you
were. Mr. Scotty Mack is on the Community Cup team.
No, we're not there yet. I'll cut that out.
Oh my goodness, you're the worst.
He's not cutting anything out.
I am not.
Well, no, there's the one thing from earlier in the show, but just that.
Yeah, just that. And I won't cut it, I'll just bleep it. So.
You're gonna bleep me? I'm gonna have a bleep?
You are.
Yep.
And you deserve it.
Oh my goodness, I'm gonna have to get that for my A-team intro.
Okay, so, yeah. Because it's limited and because it's already 45 minutes in, we're done with,
Part that you want to know is that if you have an undefeated sealed deck, it had a Soul of Theros in it. That's all you need to know. Good job.
That makes sense, yeah.
Soul Theros is broken.
He is the Blue Dragon.
He's better than the Blue Dragon. And Spirit Bonds is a card.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, those things are all good to know.
Yeah.
All right, more tournaments. Star City was in... Where is Star City? Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Yay. So let's see. See if we can't power through some of this. Clues, sure. I'm sorry, but we're skipping your Legacy deck of the week.
That's quite all right, because I didn't have one prepared, because I thought that this would be a long show.
Hey, look at that.
Accuracy.
Okay, so let's do Standard, because Standard is theoretically not so boring for a minute.
Kind of the top two decks are the decks that are kind of exciting to talk about.
Oh, good.
Everything else is kind of, you know, old decks with a new take, in a sense. But the top two decks are kind of a little bit on the new side. Like, Green White Aggro is something that we've seen many times before. Really what it got from the new set with Sunblade Elf is kind of a nice little one drop piece in it. So I guess it isn't, you know, super new at all. I guess maybe I jumped a little bit ahead of myself there. it hasn't had really any success in any kind of big tournaments.
As we said last week, right after M15 came out,
yeah,
the one drop 2/2 in this deck is really sick.
Yes, 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 it is. It is a very, very good card for that set. Like, it is probably a decent card in Modern Zoo if Modern Zoo was a deck worth playing.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of rough. The aggro versions, you know, the ones that die to Anger of the Gods. But the second place deck, Barry Smith was running a Jund deck. They have it listed as Jund Midrange, but he had it really, he was playing it as a Jund Planeswalker deck.
And how?
Lots of Planeswalkers.
So, yeah, 4 Caridids, 4 Coursers, so just like your standard mana package there. But he had 2 of the Chandras, he had 2 of the new Apex Predator Garrick, he had a Liliana Vest, he had a couple of Vraskas, he had some Xenagos the Revelers, so he just had all of these Planeswalkers, and then he matched those up with the ability to just kill all of your creatures. So, seemed like a smart thing to do.
Yeah, when I look over here at his spells, I see removal, Rakdos's Return, removal, card draw. Yeah. Like, oh, well, how about that?
I like the density of the removal when you're running Pyromaster. That gets disgusting really fast. 0, kill target creature. Huh, seems good.
Funny how that works.
Seems fine.
And then, like, the nice thing is, it's really cute in the sense that, like, there are 4 creatures in this deck that you can actively kill with, like, targeted removal.
Yeah.
Tokens that show up for sure, but the targeted removal doesn't really do anything. So it's very fun in the sense of, you think about how, like, Esper, when it's a deck, it would side into a creature package in game 2 to, you know, draw attention that way and try and beat them when they take out all the removal as a counter. This deck actually can do some of the same thing by bringing in 4 Stormbreath Dragons. So now all of a sudden it's like, oh, I get rid of all my, you know, a lot of my removal. And now I'm going to, like, max out those heroes' downfalls, because instead of just killing my planeswalkers, you have to deal with these dragons too with them. So I really like that whole line.
Okay, I have a dumb question. I think.
Yes?
Why is it playing Stormbreath Dragon rather than some other big, terrifying 5-drop dragon?
Well,
because that is the terrifying 5-drop.
Yeah, what else for it, Rob? Right.
Is it?
Yes.
It's the current one.
Yeah, Thundermaw Hellkite isn't a card now instead.
Oh, I miss it so much.
Yeah, Stormbreath Dragon does a great job. It's a fantastic card. Like, the Monstrous on it is a way to end games.
Oh, wait a minute.
If hasting a guy with a 4-4 is, you know, not enough.
And pro-white.
Thundermaw was not printed in M14, was it?
No.
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 Damn it, Clues. I've been listening to old episodes of Card Advantage.
Oh, I was going to say, when did I say anything about
I've been listening to these old, like right when Return to Ravnica came out, episodes of Card Advantage, and my brain is still stuck on the Thundermaw Hellkite, so time travel. Well,
thank you so much for listening, but...
Damn it.
I'm pretty confident if they had Thundermaw, they would be using it, because Thundermaw is Beatstick Plus.
Okay, well, now that I feel stupider than usual, let's move on. Let's see, a black-white mid-range in 3rd, mono-blue. Ooh, white-red aggro in 5th. Which one is that? That is the one that is white that throws in black for a few...
You mean red.
No, it's white-red.
I mean, it's red that throws... Sorry, I've got too many tabs.
Yeah, it's Boros Charm.
Yeah, it's a mono-white deck with Boros Charm. It's also running a full set of Raise the Alarm, which always makes me happy.
Yeah.
Good old Johnny, Steadfast.
Oh, look at this.
I'm seeing him there.
Yay, yet another Ajani. How is it we only have three different versions of Liliana? There's like 15 Jaces and 12 Ajanis. This is dumb. Anyway, moving on.
Sorians.
Yeah, but nobody likes him.
Aw.
Do you even lift, bro?
Gideon's in this deck. What then?
I did see that there was... Well, he was in the board, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. Ajun Monsters and Mono Black Devotion and Mono Black Devotion.
One of which was piloted by Feline Longmore of High Tide fame.
Yes, one of the few people that Clues will allow to play High Tide if they were to ask.
Correct.
Is there anything else?
They don't ask, by the way.
And if they did, you don't have the ability to tell them no, so it doesn't really matter.
Nope.
Is there anything going on in the rest of the top 16?
No, I think that where you're going to see a big, like, standard shakeup is this upcoming weekend at the Pro Tour. Is it this weekend, Pro Tour?
Yeah, it's
this weekend at the Pro Tour, yeah. So, yeah, I don't think you're going to see anything too exciting in these tournaments. All of the spicy stuff is behind closed doors.
I do.
Unless you're Sato and you just post it on your Twitter account.
Yeah, along with, like, 15 other decks.
Yeah, that's the secret.
Yeah. See, now the secret is which one is he going to play? I do.
Even when he doesn't show up to the tournament, it has an effect. Like the Grohl deck that he posted on his Twitter account when he wasn't at the Pro Tour, and it became, like, the de facto level zero that you had to beat.
See, now that's funny. Let's see. I do like two Naya decks that are in the top 16. A Naya midrange deck by Kyle Peters in 13th is playing a Singleton Aurelia the Warleader, just because.
Limited time only.
Yeah, you know, seems fine. Just all those guys can attack again. That's cool. But and in 15th place is a Naya Tokens deck. And see, now this looks like something I would play. Because this deck is dumb. It's playing 4 Scion of Itugazi. Whoever plays Scion of Itugazi? Well,
Scion of Itugazi has actually like been one of those fringe cards that just hasn't had a good reason to be played. It's a good card, it just doesn't have a place.
Well, this guy found a place. This is John Roberts, the
second. Found 15th place.
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
But anytime that I see Purphoros and Tokens, it just makes me giggle.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy whenever I see Tristani and Purphoros just chilling.
Yeah.
Because you know somebody's on fire, and they're going to be on fire again next turn.
Yay, burning people. I mean, yeah, that's what I meant.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
Also, just whenever you can Purphoros into Elspeth, it's just disgusting.
Yes.
It's just so mean.
Excuse me. I'm going to pay all this mana, and you're going to take all the damage forever until you die. Deal?
By the way, I got blockers. Yo.
Yeah, when Elspeth plus one also has 6 damage attached to it, it's decent.
This seems alright.
Decent on its own. That's why I'm excited for Scuttling Doom Engine. Plus
one. I love that card.
I'm sorry, what?
Scuttling Doom Engine and M15, it's like the anti-Elspeth card.
Oh, is that the thing that little things can't block it or something?
Yeah. Little things can't block it.
About that and so much.
If she does her Wrath of God effect when she comes down, he just blows her to pieces.
Yeah, he smacks her back for 6. Oh, that card is so good.
Yeah, like that card is the, what was the Baeloth that when it's discarded, it comes into play?
The Obstinate?
Yeah, it's like the Obstinate Baeloth for Liliana.
Yep.
It's that card. A big card that Elspeth can't deal with.
Yeah. All right, then, Legacy.
Legacy!
I love Legacy.
Oh, yeah?
All right, so in Legacy, Colin Logan won it all with Death and Taxes. So other decks to see appearances in the top 8. In second place, we had Temur Delver. In third place, Omnitel. In fourth place, Sultai Delver. In fifth place, Esper Deathblade. Sixth, Land. Seventh, Burn. Thank you, Burn. And eighth place, Jund. Yeah, I actually had to write those out so that I could actually paint those.
Guys,
right.
I was
ready to jump on you, but you were just too good.
That's right. Next level. Yeah. So for those who didn't catch it, so it's Death and Taxes, Rug Delver, Omnitel, Bug Delver, Esper Deathblade, Land, Burn, Jund.
I don't understand what Rug is.
Rug? A red, red, blue, green? You don't know Rug Delver?
Did you
not listen to last week's show? I see what you're Temur Delver.
Temur. Oh, which, that makes sense.
Temur Delver doesn't... Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
All right, so Modern.
Let's say 9th through 16th, there were some more Delver decks, of course. A lot more Delver decks. Another lands deck, another Sneak and Show, and in 16th place, Elves is back. So there you go.
Yay.
I'd love to talk more about it, but we don't have time. Modern.
We just talked a bunch of Modern.
I didn't look at Modern, so I don't know what those decks were.
Yeah, the problem I have with this is that when I clicked on Modern, it gives me the Grand Prix results, too.
Yeah, any of them that say a premium deck, just ignore those, because those are from the GP.
Yeah, so it was just Pack Rat, like Jun, like, or Black-Green Rock with Pack Rats. Two of them.
G-Clues. I seem to remember you calling Pack Rat being good and constructed.
Yeah.
I know
I can't
that.
Remember when that happened.
I know that because I'm listening to old episodes of Card Advantage, where Clues called both Pack Rat and Desecration Demon as being amazing, constructed, playable, and he was right.
Yep, that might have happened. Go ahead and don't take advice from me on deck building most of the time, but got those right.
He did get those two right, yeah.
Time travel. So,
it was a Merfolk deck, which is great to see Merfolk showing up in Modern again.
Oh, God, in fifth place. Yeah, Merfolk. Look at that.
Yeah. At
Merfolk's biggest enemy was always Jund, because Jund could one for one Lords, and then fish without Lords are pretty pathetic. And with Jund kind of falling off, it's made Merfolk a lot better. And even the black-green variants, Kira just does a good enough job against those. Like, the fact that Lightning Bolt is just not as common makes Merfolk a little bit better.
Yeah.
So
there was a guy at the PTQ, Chris, who he was gonna say he was drowning people, and then he realized that sounded awful. So the term he came up with for winning with Merfolk was baptizing people.
Wow,
that's a lot better.
You just dunk them and then you win.
Just call it Dunkaroos, buddy.
So
he
was
all weird about
I love Dunkaroos. That's a great name for it.
So at the end of every round, he would find me and be like, baptized another one, yes, and he'd go outside. And I'm like, awesome, Chris. But sadly, he didn't make top 8. He was bummed. I was bummed.
Can I take a quick tangent to do a funny catchphrase moment? Because I didn't get my own podcast this week.
Is it better than baptizing?
It's pretty good.
Oh, okay, well, go ahead.
I was playing a online pre-release, and I had Hoarding Dragon, and I was bashing my opponent with a Hoarding Dragon, and I had a meteor under it.
Yeah.
And I swing. He's at 2. I swing for lethal. He kills my dragon. And I say, sorry to rock you, bro. And I cast meteorite and kill him.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I got to cut that out. Mark a time down for me, would you?
If he wasn't already a judge, get that guy a test.
Exactly.
Yeah, he does need to get tested.
Yeah, because I think that... I think that crap is contagious.
Glad he's in Canada.
See, this is why I'm not becoming a judge, because then I'd have to do puns and no.
You
no,
would not
Jack
be
has
becoming
to become the judge.
Oh, no.
Okay, so let's see. The rest of top 8, Modern, Junk in 6th, Scapeshift in 7th, and Gift Rites?
Yeah.
Why is it called Gift? Oh, it's the Gifts Reanimator deck. Okay.
Yeah.
There's another guy playing... Kevin was playing a version of this. Kevin Sellers, who is... My brain just completely farted on his Twitter handle. Oh, well.
Did you see...
Sorry,
I can tell you he's not on the Community Cup team, though.
He's not, no.
Did you see the 13th place deck?
Not yet, no. What is the 13th place? A Rug Twin?
No, Teamer Twin.
I really hate you sometimes. So anyway.
Call it Lemur
Twin. Oh, yeah, that was
now.
Worth it.
That was, yeah, it totally was.
Yeah.
Okay, so enough tournaments. Now that we're 2 hours in.
Go play some Magic.
No, we're not done yet.
Oh.
Yeah, there's still a lot left. Okay, so the Community Cup team was announced today, right? No, like Friday? When the hell was this? I just found out about it today, so I'll just assume it was today.
It was announced on the, according to the article, it's from the 25th, so.
Yes.
Oh, there are dates. Hang on, let me scroll up. Okay, yeah, that was Friday. All right.
Yeah.
So this should be, some of these should be no surprise. Some of these I've never heard of. So first up, Day 9 is on, Sean Plott. Yeah, okay, that's duh.
So I've heard people complaining about this, and it seems to be like residual hate from when he got to go to the Pro Tour. And to all those people, like, this guy is doing things for the community. This guy is drawing players. That Pro Tour that he was at that he did not very well at, given, he also had... people, over 100,000 people watching Magic on Twitch. So that's a good thing.
Yeah,
he
this
does
is
a Spellslinger show on Geek and Sundry. He is a community contributor. He is a big name that will draw a lot of attention. And he's full of energy, a super positive person, and is going to be good for the game.
That's why they don't like him. He's positive.
Yes.
When everyone's going, this sucks, then somebody going, this is great! Yeah, so you can't have that. But yeah, this is what's known as a, well, like bringing him to the Pro Tour is what's known as a celebrity endorsement. It happens. Get over it. It's a good choice. So let's see, moving on, Tom Ross, who is...
The boss.
boss, who is at boss_MTG on Twitter. I have no idea who this guy is. Who is this guy? Anybody
know?
You don't
know who the boss Tom Ross is?
Should I?
Okay, so Tom Ross, you know how at the Community Cup they always kind of bring in the ringers for the community team?
Yeah, they're like, down at the bottom.
Huh?
Yeah, they're down at the
Tom
bottom.
Tom Ross is one of the ringers.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Frank Lepore is not a ringer. We'll just put that out there.
Why have I never heard of him then? Who is Tom Ross? Like, what does he do?
Tom Ross is the guy who attacks with one drops.
That.
You know, like when you hear the name Boss Sly for a deck and stuff like that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's all, he's Tom the Boss, like he's the boss, Tom Ross. Like, it's his decks.
Okay, well, that's all well and good, but what does he do?
He won the Invitational recently, the last SCG Invitational, he won that. And you will see him at countless GPs running very, very small decks that do things like Dyna Charge. So that's what he's known for. He is a aggro one-drop player.
Nice.
Kind of like how Patrick Sullivan is known for always playing, like, mono red.
Right.
Tom Ross is always known for playing pretty much red aggro.
Gotcha. Okay, yes. Then.
And he's awesome. Like, he is in the booth every now and then at SCG things, you know, just kind of doing the interview thing, and just cool person.
Okay.
I don't know what he does aside from play Magic, though. Like, I don't know what his community contributions are.
Well, that was what I was actually asking, so.
Yeah.
Okay. If you keep going down, you'll see Scott McAllum.
Hey,
he's Canadian. I've never heard of this guy.
No?
No.
Yeah, I think he's a podcaster, actually.
I think he's one of the filthy Canadians that stole my Schofield.
He was the one who called me on my phone. I didn't know how he got my number, but he called me on the phone and said that he had to talk to me about something important.
Is that all it takes? Because give me your number. I'll call you.
Yeah, really? I've got his number. I'll give it to you. Yeah,
so,
Scott McAllum.
So Jeremy, I hear your family is doing okay. That's good.
Lord.
Yeah.
So Scotty Mack, who is one of the A-Team guys, he's been around almost as long as I have in the podcasting community. I use that term loosely because very few have been around almost as long as I have. But what number is the A-Team up to now?
Two, I don't know.
So two, I don't know. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's
188,
always...
sorry. 188.
188, okay. But he's Scotty Mack. He can, I have seen him do karaoke to Gangnam Style, and it is damn impressive. If no other reason, then he needs to be on the Community Cup team for that.
Yes. The fact, like, the crazy part about Mr. Scotty Mack on there could be, like, a case that Wizard said, you know what, like, we should put Scotty Mack on the team, not because a lot of people asked for it, because there was a pretty big campaign for Scotty Mack to be on the team, but because they know that if Scotty Mack's in town for a Magic tournament, there's going to be a good party.
Yeah.
Like, there ain't no party like a Scotty Mack party. My understanding is that Wooster had one of his trademark unbelievable parties. That's one of the things, if you go to a GP and you find out that Mr. Scotty Mack is there, you have to go and say hi, and you got to find out where the party is. Because that's one of the things that he does for tournaments he attends. He throws the best parties.
So he's the reason some people didn't make it there.
He's the reason I'm not an L2.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't really have much of a memory of the end of Montreal. I know how it started, but I don't know how it ended. Yeah, and he also runs a Magic Online show on Monday nights. It actually started about an hour ago from our recording, and he streams... right now he's been streaming modern decks. Like at this tournament, they'd been doing a Team Geist thing, working with Larry Swayze. And he's been testing this Geist deck for almost like the last 3 months on stream. So he does like a weekly show and all that stuff's for legit MTG. And Scotty Mack's just awesome. He gets along with everybody. He's a great personality.
Sweet.
Yeah. I don't know this next guy.
I don't know. I was trying to fix the show notes that John Celso just snuck in and screwed up. Damn it. Okay, so this next guy. Somebody read the next guy while I fix this.
I'm confused. What got screwed up? Okay, you just wanted somebody else to try and pronounce this. So, this is, Bjorn, Andreasen. Did I get that? Andreasen?
Sounds right.
Anybody?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, he's from Sweden, and this ends everything I know about him. Anybody know who Bjorn is?
I don't know, but I'm looking right now, and it looks like he runs a magic website.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So he is one of the European.
It looks like he's got two magic websites, and
oh my god, he's got a site called MTG Quiz, and I've only just gone there, and I already love it.
Okay, well, what is MTG Quiz?
You log in with your Facebook account, so I'm going to do that.
Oh, can't do it.
So I can play now, and it's got a picture in the front, and it's a picture of Peel to Reality or whatever, Peel into Reality, the bouncer
guy. Peel from Reality? Yeah.
Yeah, Peel from Reality. And it's like, what card type is this card? And there's four options. So I'm going to hit instant and answer. And I got it right. And I guess I got a score for that. I got 8 points for that.
Ooh.
And I hit next. And it says, oh, it's showing me the Goblin 3-2 guy from the new set. Oh, I get more points if I answer it quickly. This card costs 3 red, red. Okay, so I'm going to do this for the rest of the episode. And, if you guys need me, just make sure to say my name because I might lose attention because I'm already like 7 questions in and I love it.
So for those of you paying attention, 50% of the people revealed so far have taken Jeremy away from Monday Night Magic.
That is absolutely correct. Let's see if we can keep that roll going. So next we have, I'm going to go with Dalibor Trinca.
I suppose so.
Trinca, he is a level 2 judge from Mexico. I don't know anything else about him than that.
Apparently, he doesn't get a Twitter thing, so either he doesn't have it or they just didn't include it for him. But this row doesn't have Twitter. It could also be the Magic website being terrible.
It could just be the Magic website being terrible. But I suspect he is very active in the Latin American Magic community. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Then we have Mariah Pagliocco. I've never actually heard her last name pronounced. It's Mariah from Team Panda.
Yeah,
if you guys have seen all of the stuff with fundraisers lately. Then we have Frank Lepore from Florida. Okay, Jeremy, do you know more about Frank?
What is Team Panda? Whoa! What is Team Panda? We just threw that out there like everyone knew exactly what that was, and I have no idea.
You have no idea?
No.
We've been talking about it for a few weeks, man.
We've actually been talking about it on this show with you for several weeks.
Mariah, if I'm not mistaken, is the young lady who suffered a bad accident, to put it lightly.
Yes.
Oh, is that? Oh, that's Team Panda.
Yeah.
I did not realize that those two. I've heard the words Team Panda thrown around like on Twitter and whatnot, but I didn't know that was what that was.
Yeah. All right, well, 2 + 2, 4.
But avid Magic player, avid Magic lover, loves the community. The community kind of, you know, rallied around her, and I think that this is like a really, really cool thing Wizards is doing. So I think that's awesome.
Agreed.
Okay, sorry. And Frank Lepore is the boss for
He is the content manager for TCG Player, if I'm correct. The one.
Yes, thank there you.
Yes, so Frank is... He's been around forever. He does a lot of content. He's worked his way up on the TCG Player side of things. And yeah, I know that there was a big campaigning for him to get involved. He does a lot for the community in that sense. He's kind of the media personality, I guess you would say, for this. Or the news. I don't know what you call it, the journalism side of things, as much as Magic journalism.
Sorry. I didn't mean to laugh at that.
The Magic propagandist.
Yes.
Okay. And then the other ringer is the last guy up.
Paul Cheon.
Yes. He's a ringer.
Yes, I believe he was the U.S. national champion 1 year. He was on the world's team with Lewis Scott Vargas. That did very, very well. Mm-hmm. He's a Magic streamer, streamed a ton when he was in Curico, working at some gambling place, has moved back stateside to live in California, works for Channel Fireball, kind of produces a lot of their content. Really seems to be the personality that they found to fill the role that TSG left behind when all of that stuff went down. Mm. So it really seems like they've kind of made a new job for it finally, and that's Cheon's job. So he does streams where he plays decks suggested by the fans of the site and stuff like that. He also does the Magic TV stuff now, and he's been organizing a lot of like versus type stuff to kind of mimic what SCG is doing. So that's where he's at.
All right. And there is your community team.
All right, then. So we would go into more, but we're way, way over. So let's see here. New F&M promos.
All right. So we already know BioBlight for August.
Yep. Banishing Light for September with interesting art. And then a Fanatic of Xenagos for October with interesting art. Don't actually like any of these.
I don't know. It's Zoltan
Boros art on the Fanatic of Xenagos.
Well,
I like it because it's a new, like, crazy face.
Yeah, no, the face is great. It's like he doesn't even know what he's doing. It's awesome.
He does not know what he's doing.
You know, like, why is it pulling out? Oh, I'm holding it upside down. Huh.
And it's absolutely worth bringing it up. And because we missed it in Cons of Tarkir, there is a guy punching a bear.
Punching the crap out of that bear.
Yeah, there is an artwork of a dude just cold cocking a bear. And it's awesome.
I made a point to tag John Celso, who on Twitter is Balduvian Bears and who loves all things bears. And he did not appreciate that.
Maybe that's why he's messing around with the show notes.
No, he did that because he's dumb. He just told me. He's like, whoops, my bad.
In his defense, he just got punched in the face on Twitter like 50 times in the last 48 hours. Okay, you can make mistakes. That was him, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, it was. So, that's
unfortunate.
Hey, Clues.
Yeah.
This next thing is you.
All right, so is it that time?
Yep.
Okay, so in the Sky is Falling version, like 8.7, I don't know, something like that. So there was an announcement today that was rolled out kind of in waves in the reverse order of how you'd kind of want to do these things. So there's a new program coming for the Judge program. It's a thing called the Exemplar program, because we love Knight Exemplar, I guess. I'm not really sure. But for a while now, certain members of the Judge program, certain high-level members, in particular like RCs, had at their disposal a small number of Judge foils that they could send out as a recognition for something someone in the community had done. Some judge had done something they wanted to recognize it. They could send out Judge foils. They are expanding that program. Sort of. So that what they're going to do is they're expanding the kind of the reach of people who are able to do that through this new program called the Exemplar program. Eventually it will reach all the way down to L2s. So L2s will, be able to essentially nominate someone else in the judge community to recognize them for their contribution or something awesome that they've done. The number of people that you can recognize will depend on both your level and your role within the judge program. So like a normal L3 might get so many, but an L3 who's also an RC will get more, for instance. And it's not just, oh, I nominate this guy and he gets cards. No. You nominate this guy and then the higher up folks, the high level ranking judges, the like L5s and L4s, they're going to review them. And then some of them will be sent judge foils. Now, so all of that is interesting.
They didn't have that, right?
Previously, that did not exist.
No, okay, this is not a thing that existed.
Yeah, this is new. And if that's all they said, it would be, hey, that's kind of interesting and cool. But down at the end of this announcement is the Sky is Falling part, which is that this program will begin this year for L3 plus judges. It'll be fully implemented for L2 plus in 2015. And while judge activities will continue as before, in 2015, judge foils will only be available as part of the Exemplar program. This means no judge foils for judging a GP. And that is the moment when, you know, the sky.
All of a sudden, that box that you can't even move for $80 after the GP that you got paid for doing the GP starts to really look thin.
So this was when the dogs and cats started living together in mass hysteria and gnashing of teeth.
This is. And okay. I'll freely admit I spent part of the afternoon gnashing my teeth as well and wondering about those dogs and cats and what they're up to. So we don't yet have all of the details, but some of them started to trickle out throughout the afternoon. And here are the things that I have. Well, first, let me tell you the things that I have inferred, and they're mostly wild speculation, and then the things that I've actually learned. So what I've inferred, this really feels like something that did not come from the judge program. You know, this exemplar program, that is totally something that they've been working on and wanted to do. And that's great. but the no judge foils for GPs, that really sounds like something that was dictated by Wizards. And that they just decided, okay, look, we're not giving out foils for GPs anymore. Now, the line about the only way to get judge foils will be the Exemplar program, that is also a mild lie, because there will still continue to be judge foils at judge conferences. That was clarified a little later on. Now, I don't know if that clarification is true, but somebody said it. So there's that. So the judge program is doing what they can with the confines of what they've been told by Wizards. So there's that. Now, it really appears, based on some other things. So Lems, Jason Lemahieu, Judge Lems, he has made a couple of updates about the Exemplar program, as well as about the no foils at GPs. So it feels like they're a little bit premature in making this announcement, since they didn't have all the details in place. But at the same time, any time now, we're going to start to get advertisements for GPs coming up after January 1st, and people are going to start making travel plans. And if you're planning to travel to a GP, you kind of need to know what your compensation is going to be. So judges are not paid for what they do. They are compensated for their time, and they're not really compensated. I'm not going to say they're not compensated well. I'm just going to say a lot of people out there have misconceptions about how much we're compensated. It is not exactly a gravy train. You are sacrificing a lot of time and a lot of money to go judge an event. And one of the things that you used to get were foils, which you could then sell to a vendor to try and recoup some of your costs. That is gone, or at least it will be.
Yeah, like that would make up a couple $100 for you.
Yeah, I mean,
it really depends on what the foil pool was like. You could make, you know, a few $100 probably on the high end, a couple $100 on the low end. As a person in Canada who tries to travel to Canadian GPs to judge, it wouldn't even like cover, like, I'm still in the hole when I go to these events.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a good foil packet. So let's say you're, let's say for sake of argument, you're an L1 and you judge 2 days of a GP. Well, you usually get a box of product for each day that you judge. And if you're trying to sell that to somebody, you know, you're looking at maybe $80 a box trying to resell those. And a good foil packet, you're talking maybe $180 to a vendor. But you also had to pay for a plane ticket and you had to pay for a hotel. And so at best, you're coming out even here. At worst, you're several $100 in the hole here. So, yeah, we're and taking away the judge foils.
This is with, you know, piling sometimes way more judges than can fit in a small room just so they have to pay less of the pie.
Oh, yeah. I've known judges who have like 6 people in a room. You know, you got 2 in each bed. Somebody's on the couch. Somebody's on the floor.
Yeah.
I've totally seen that happen.
Screw that. I'm in the bathtub.
That's right. Until somebody needs to take a shower or use the head in the middle of the night. So,
I'm in
the bathtub. He's still in the bathtub. He's just not happy.
That's right. it appears that what's going to happen is that the TOs are going to alter their payout for the judges, their compensation for the judges, because the only thing WotC was giving to the judges was the foils. Everything else came from the TO and was up to the TO. So, yeah. It looks like the burden for compensating judges is being shifted entirely to the TOs. So WotC is not including the foils anymore.
Now I heard that there were some signs that this was coming, because like Star City event comp for the future has gone up.
Yes. Star City has been making some changes to how it's doing comp, and, they definitely reward higher level judges more than lower level judges. But as a lower level judge, it's getting harder and harder to be staffed for these events anyway. But yeah, Star City has been making some changes to theirs. There have been some grumblings about changes coming to the judge foil program for a while now. I had no inside information or details, just grumblings that, hey, things are going to change. Well, here are the things. They are totally changing. I have a lot of conflicted thoughts on this. I don't really want to, you know, add fuel to the sky is falling, camp, but at the same time, events are getting bigger and bigger, and having an adequate staff for those events is becoming more and more important. And I worry that if the TOs don't appropriately compensate the judges. You're going to have an entire pool of people who used to do a lot of tournaments, who have a lot of experience at these sorts of things. You're going to have a whole bunch of them that can't go to as many events anymore, and simply because it's not financially viable.
I hate to say it, the new crop to replace those people is not going to be there because they're making it harder to be that person. Like, missing my L2 in Montreal is massive to me now because it has, like, just absolute stymied my ability to now progress in the judge program.
Yeah.
Living in Edmonton, I have no opportunity to grow as a judge. And even if I go to a GP, if I go out of my way, if I spend my money to go to the GP that I already lose money to work, like, the judge packs, DeFoil packs didn't do enough to cover my expenses to get out there. I can't even test for L2 to try and help myself by getting that extra foil pack. I can't do that because I don't have enough events under my belt because I need to do them with an L3 and they just don't exist. I've talked to, there's one judge, I think he's from your neck of the woods, Clues, Joe?
Yeah, like I say, you're going to have to be a little more specific.
Joe Bruss, I'm trying to remember his name.
Piscopo.
Hangs out with Jeff Foster a lot.
Joe. I'm blanking on his last name right now, too.
Yeah, really, and he also hangs out with the new L3 guy. What's his name? Kind of a...
Once again, you're going to have to be more specific on new L3 as well. We're getting a lot of those.
He's new L3. There isn't a lot of new L3s. But yeah, he was just talking about how right now the big problem is it's always very hard to find a judge two levels higher than you. Like, that's the biggest problem with the system, is that finding a judge two levels higher is just a very difficult thing to do. If you want to become a judge, finding that L2 can be a very difficult thing to do. Getting access to that L2 is a very difficult thing to do. If you're an L1, getting access to the L3s is a very difficult thing to do. And so the system needs to improve its ability to get those two levels higher together so that the system can grow.
These changes are coming hot on the heels of some changes to the L2 level, some redefinitions of the requirements for an L2 level. And when that happened, a lot of folks reacted with a sky is falling mentality. And to be honest with you, I personally, and this is just my personal feeling, okay, I'm not speaking for the rest of the judge program, this is just Clues talking here. I feel like a lot of the concerns that people raised when that redefinition was announced, I think a lot of those concerns were valid, and I think a lot of those concerns were brushed off by higher level judges without really thinking about them. I'm not saying the sky is falling, I'm just saying I don't think that they have really adequately addressed some of those concerns. And they're exactly what you're saying. It's the new requirements make it really hard for someone who is in a remote area to actually continue advancing, particularly when it's harder and harder to make staff if you're not already in L2.
Yeah, like, I have PTQs in my city that hit like 200 people very, very easily. And we have two L2s.
Yeah.
We don't have an L3. Like, the only L3 in my province is, like, just had a kid, so he's not going to be around. So in order to get these other judges, we're starting to see some more L1s trickle in because our new L2 is actually committed to getting some new judges in the area, and I'm glad for that. But we just don't have the judges. We don't have the experienced judges. So that's like, the tough part. And, like, looking at this, I feel like the judge program is leaving itself very, very vulnerable. I agree that when you have an L2 judge, they are probably going to have a better skill set. The newer L2s are going to have better skill sets than the old just became L2s because they're forced into situations. But you're going to have a lot of tournaments that have the potential to go very, very poorly because you're putting L1s into a situation that they're not necessarily ready for potentially multiple times in order to prove that they're ready for it. Like, there's just a lot of stuff going wrong. And if you start messing with the compensation and a whole bunch of a flock of L2s and L3s stop working these GPs, you're going to have a lot of trouble. But we should,
Yeah, so, okay, the takeaway, too long, didn't read, no more judge foils at GPs starting in 2015. Comp will
hopefully
be
it's not a popularity test. But yeah. I was told that it's going to be better for Canadian judges by my RC, so I hope that that's true and not just something that's being said.
But again, this all happened this afternoon, so we have very, very little information at this point. Everything we know is probably going to be somewhat outdated and trumped by something someone posts an hour after we stop recording, so...
Could this be because everything you know is wrong?
Everything I know is some of the things I know are wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I love Weird Al. All right. Yeah, I think so let's rapid fire the rest of this crap. There's a Cons of Tarkir teaser, not a full trailer up. Whatever, go watch that. They announced a dual deck anthology, which I missed this announcement anywhere.
The first four dual decks are going to be in a box set. So the first four packages, so eight decks, are going to be in one box set.
Elves versus Goblins, Jace versus Chandra, Divine versus Demonic, and Garrick versus Liliana.
Where can I get this?
Which, I mean, I have all these already, so I don't really care. But these, except for Divine versus Demonic, these were all really good. Divine versus Demonic was horribly not balanced.
It was the most unbalanced of all of them that I've ever seen. Although it actually, like, in terms of finances, held pretty good because it had, you know, a chrome in it and some other cool stuff. But who knows what that is now?
Yeah, really.
Go pick it up. It'll be great. Like, you can especially have a fun little top eight dynamic where you get people together and you just beat the crap out of each other. It'll be awesome.
But yeah, as far as actually playing them against each other, Divine versus Demonic was bad. I've heard of it. Knights versus Dragons was also bad, but I only played a couple games with it. But Divine versus Demonic, we played lots of games with it. It was miserably unbalanced.
Yeah, it's really messed up when one deck's lead creature has protection from the entire other deck.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's, and Achroma was just a small part of the actual problem, but.
Yeah.
But so that's that. If you miss these or you're new to the game or whatever, I still don't know where this came from.
It was apparently announced at the San Diego Comic-Con. I did find a link to Morrow's blog where he mentions it.
Oh, okay, good. Because all I have is a tweet from a Twitter account that I've never heard of.
Yeah, let me put a link to Morrow's blog here.
Yeah, throw that in there.
The show notes.
Okay, good.
You want me to replace that
one?
Yeah,
just replace that one, yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, so that's the thing. Check that out. Did we talk about the counterfeits thing? I don't remember when this came out, but...
It came out last Tuesday.
Oh, well then, no, we didn't, because it's last Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah, so they busted up a distributor, a guy who was bringing in a lot of stuff from...
Yeah, in North Carolina, probably someone Jack knows.
I was going to say, it was not Jack, though. That's not why he's not here tonight.
True, true. Although, had we thought about it, we would have totally set that up ahead of time.
We totally would have.
And there's yet another problem with... collation in boxes, which this isn't how you spell collation, but I can't remember how you spell collation, so I haven't fixed it. But apparently there are god boxes where people are getting, instead of three uncommons and one rare or mythic, people are getting two uncommons and two rares or mythics in every pack in their box.
And it's happening enough that it's happening for the entire box, not just like a random pack. And there's actually, I saw a video on YouTube earlier today where they'd figured out that they had one after opening like half the packs in the box. So they just set up the video and they open the other ones and they're just cracking them like crazy in their store. And they're like getting everybody to come over and do it. And on camera, they got someone cracking open a pack with two Ajani's in it.
That's pretty good.
And that was one of the better packs, but they also had something that actually had three mythics in it because they'd also had the foil. Right. It was pretty great. I know Chewy loves hearing about how he can get three mythics in one pack. So it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, and like
that's a Manipool joke.
This is everywhere. Like one of the guys on the Manipool forums, or actually the Card Shark forums that the Manipool was squatting on, has a story about how they were all doing sealed matches with their boxes, and one of his opponents had one of those boxes. And yeah, and the Manipool forums isn't a place where people make stuff up like that, especially not Bud. So
yeah,
because he wasn't like, dude, look what I got. It was, hey, this other guy got this.
Yeah. And it's only really noteworthy to me because of the fact that this is the first run with the new card frame. And I was just wondering if maybe, aside from the normal collation, they just messed something else up when they went to the big seal. Because I think when they first introduced the frame, they're like, and maybe now we'll get rid of that problem where we're accidentally screwing up the collation. And it's like, no.
No.
Yeah, remember, rares and mythics are the ones that have the hollow stamp.
Right.
So I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
I mean, maybe. I think it'll be a bigger issue if people get a box that has no rares and extra uncommons, because that'll be worth complaining about.
Yeah, that is the bank error not in your favor, and nobody likes those.
So, maybe Watts will say anything about it. Probably not, but it's happening. If you get a cool box, tell us about it. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, send us an email.
Jack at mtgcast.com and tell him how much better your cards are than his fat pack.
Wow, that's cold. Speaking of things that are cold, hey, Squee, I hear you finally started messing with the new Magic Online.
Yeah, so after last week's episode when we were talking about it, I decided that I can't really have an opinion on Magic Online version 4 without actually playing it, and I got tired of inheriting my opinions from everybody else. So, pretty much blind, I started running Camtasia. I launched it for the first time. I used the Phantom tickets and the free, you know, pick your thing for this week for the pre-release. So I went through a completely free event. I recorded all of it. You can see me interacting with the interface and the areas that didn't do what I thought they would do. I'll get that to Chewy, and it'll be on themanapool.com if he feels like putting it up. The very short version of it is I think that it's not as bad as people make it out to be, but I can see why there's frustration. And in full disclosure, after I finished recording this thing and everything was great, I finished the event, I went to look at the little token thing that I won, and when I went to look at the token thing that I won, it crashed. So, nice. Yeah, it waited until I was done recording, and then when it knew no one was watching, it totally crapped out.
So, I actually did the pre-release thing too with the Phantom tickets and the token thing.
Yeah.
Did you get to keep your cards from the yes. pre-release pool?
Yes.
Okay.
That was intended. So it All was right, a nice way to, sure. the cool part about it was that they gave everyone a free thing. They used Phantom tickets. So if you missed the event, you still got some Phantom tickets so you could play some events. But what it also did is all of these guys who have been playing these cube drafts and stuff like that since the Mox is gone, and they've been using their Mox points to play Phantom events that kind of paid out in these weird Phantom tickets and stuff like that, it gave them the ability to kind of filter their Phantom tickets into live product. But it also kept it controlled because you only had 5 of these coupons to play in the pre-releases.
Yeah.
So it was a really neat way to kind of like blow some steam off for people who just cube draft too much.
All right.
And I also agree with what you have to say, Scree. I'm a fan in the sense that you can be a fan of the new client. I've been using it since they made it live, like that you could download it and use the new client. Since that point, I've been using it because it works on my laptop, and the old client never did work on my laptop. And it's just... it has its problems, but the old client was no angel. It had plenty of problems, too.
Yeah, and they've been taking...
And in the last 2 months, they've made giant strides on the new client. So you can actually see the difference of them stopping support on the old client versus putting everyone onto like the new client. Like, having everybody on this new client, you can see the results that are coming from that. So it's a positive thing.
And they've been taking direct requests for UI improvements. Like, earlier today, I even saw... the official Magic Online account popped out like, hey, send any UI improvement suggestions, preferably constructive criticism, to magiconlinefeedback@wizards.com. And so I did. I actually wrote down my initial feedback, very short, to the point, polite. I sent it to them. I got an automated response letting me know they got it and that they were going to look at it. And I think that's going to be the kind of thing we have to do to get things where we want. All of this whining on Twitter is not going to get anywhere. So... be constructive.
Yeah. Brian Kibler can only do so much by posting a blog post and having Wizards fix his problems.
That's an annoying superpower he has.
Eh.
I had to send an email for that superpower.
So this episode has gone on long enough. Clues has to drive 12 hours tomorrow, and I would like to actually sleep tonight.
Yep.
I didn't really sleep last night because... okay, quick tangent. I just said this episode's going on too long, but it's going to take a second. So last night... I took yesterday off. My knees were killing me for unknown reasons after spending all day standing up at the PTQ because I was bird dogging and live tweeting, you know, so standing. My knees were just killing me, so I took the day off of doing anything, and I sat on my couch and I sorted my rares. It's just what I've been doing. And at one point in the night, I was like, I'm going to go put my jammies on. And I get up and I go back to my room and I put my jammies on, and I go back out and I sit back down on the couch and I get back to the rare sorting. And I feel a tickle on my leg, and I reach down, like I pull my jammy pants leg up real quick, and there's a black spider on my leg. And I went, ah! And I knocked it off, and I picked up an empty binder page and smashed the hell out of it. And for the rest of the night, and I was watching House while I was sorting, so for the rest of the night, I was having issues with phantom things crawling on me that weren't there, you know, like Magic Online tickets, and... getting bitten by a random spider and having this bizarre, hard to diagnose, gonna kill me thing happen because I was watching episodes of House. So, yeah, I didn't actually go to sleep until I was completely exhausted last night. Shut up, I don't like spiders.
It's true, you don't. This is documented history.
It was a problem.
But on the plus side,
I did get through lots of the rare sorting. So.
Yeah. And on the plus side, you don't have it in the show notes, but for people who are digging through the archives, you should all know that the Kickstarter ended. And it was awesome.
That was just last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know it feels like forever ago, but that was last week, buddy.
It does. Yeah, so Wow, thank you. Thank you, Bill. So, yeah, the Kickstarter ended... Oh, it was less than a week. It was Thursday. Good Lord. It really feels like a long time ago.
It's okay. There have been spiders since then.
Is there any money left?
Is there any what?
Any money left?
I haven't gotten the money yet, so no.
Oh.
Probably not. So, yeah, the Kickstarter ended Thursday morning at 10:31 a.m. Eastern Time. And it was awesome. We ended up at $15,288. So we got basically 153% funded because the goal was $10,000. And I didn't actually have a chance to celebrate or to come down from the high because at 9:30 that morning, I got a call from my intermittent part-time job. Hey, we need you to drive to Fayetteville and back. Can you be here in half an hour? I was like, no, but I can be there at 11. He was like, that works. So it was, yay, it's over. That's amazing. Thanks, everybody. Got to go by. And yeah. And then I came home and was exhausted because Fayetteville is not a happy place.
It actually saps your soul.
It does, yeah. And then the next day, I had to go make another run and track down people. And it was, I didn't actually get a chance to like sit. And then Saturday was the PTQ. And then Sunday I was in pain. So I haven't actually had a chance to come down from it all yet. And that's why it feels like so long ago. I admit I'm having a bit of a problem because I worked on the Kickstarter and did the math and all the plotting out and everything and had all those mental issues that I talked about at length on this show for 5 months. And then for the last month, it's been the reason I get up every day is to, you know, plug the Kickstarter, answer people's questions, spread the word, this and that and the other. That's been the only thing I've done. And now it's over. And I'm like, now what? So. Like, there's a lot more work that needs to be done. I still have to... So, for those that are wondering, the backer survey that you'll get, don't get me started on why Kickstarter needs to fix this. The backer survey is done in such a way that you can't do it in such a way that makes sense. Like, no human being put this together. Some evil robots put the way the backer surveys work together. I have to write a backer survey for each individual reward tier. There's no way to copy-paste. There's no way to apply this question to all... survey reward tiers, none of that. And I've gotten several of them, I think, done. Every time I finish one and go to the next one, I remember something that I have to go back and put on the previous one, which means all the previous ones, and it's just killing me. But eventually I'll get them all done. The backer survey will go out. That's where everyone will tell me what add-ons they wanted and, you know, all of that good stuff, and their name and address, so I'll know where to ship stuff, and shirt sizes and whether you want your playmat signs, just all that stuff. And once you give me that back, then I'll keep records of it, and everybody will get everything eventually when everything's done. I haven't gotten the money yet because Amazon Payments is still collecting from everyone. There are a few people who's errored and have the wrong card number and all that good stuff. So chances are a good chunk of that I won't get. But when I say a good chunk of that, I mean like maybe $500 or $600 total out of the whole deal. So that's not a big deal. We did manage to hit the second stretch goal with 27 minutes to go of the Magic Mad Libs PDF, so I need to start putting that together. I still got videos to make, of course. I've got all kinds of stuff to do. Ow, and my knees are still hurting. I think health insurance might be a thing I need to do so I can go to the doctor. But anyway, so yeah, it was a blast. I can't wait to actually start ordering all the stuff. And then getting the stuff, and then showing off the stuff, and then shipping out the stuff. I can't wait for the stuff. The stuff is very exciting.
You're gonna fill up a kiddie pool with sleeves and swim around in it, aren't you?
I mean, I'm gonna have so many left over that I might have to. Duh. That's why I offered that last minute bulk sleeves thing, was because I looked at how many sleeves I had to order and how many I was gonna have left over. I was like, oh my god. But anyway. So enough of that. I know everyone's been listening about the Kickstarter for the last, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 episodes, and, you know, I apologize for that.
It's all good. That's really exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. It is super exciting. I could not have done it without all the people who helped. Most notably, actually, Clues and Bill here were humongous helps.
It was a pleasure to do it. I'm happy to help out.
For helping spread the word.
Next time you see them, I think you should buy them Twinkies.
If they want.
What if he likes us?
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Screw you. You don't get a Twinkie.
I tried.
But anyway. So I'm gonna stop talking now. We should do some final thoughts and say go. Clues.
Do we do final thoughts on the show?
Do we? What do we do on the show? Contact info, stuff you want.
I was gonna say usually it's just contact info.
I don't know.
Clues, think about your contact info. Good job, Clues. All right, moving on. I will now think about my contact info. Okay, great. Now go, Jeremy. Go. Good job, Jeremy. All right, let's wrap it up, Julie.
I didn't think about anything.
So, you have to wrap it up.
Hey, guest host, where if people want to find you, hey, you want to come back next week after the Pro Tour?
Sure, why not?
Awesome.
Can I do that?
I don't know, but yes. Spoiler alert, and if not, then we were trolling you, listener.
Okay. I am J_Schofield on the Twitters. I am Pigsofa_Twist on the Magic Online. You can find me each Monday morning on manadeprived.com on the A-Team podcast for Canadians talking about competitive magic and casual magic and just having a good time. Sometimes we use naughty language, but that's going to happen. you will also, really exciting news. I don't know if this will reach anybody, but I hope it does. I'm going to be speaking at a convention in October, Tamacon in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories. So, I'm very, very excited for that.
Sweet. Was that the person that emailed me?
Yes. The person who emailed you. Yes.
Okay, I got this random email. It was like, hi, we need to talk to Jeremy Schofield about being at a convention and talking. And I was like, that's awesome. You totally need to. He's the best guy ever.
Yeah, so I'm very, very excited for that. I don't know if I talked about it with you guys, but at one point I really wanted to build a primer for a casual player who decides that they want to be a competitive player. And all of the things that you don't learn at the kitchen table that you need to know when you're playing in high-level events, something along the lines of, you know, how to stop playing that game that's like Magic and start playing Magic. So talking about priority and stuff like that and, you know, how the game actually plays out and how the game works.
Sweet.
You know, what the role of judges are and what the role of you is and what you should expect. So that's probably going to be my topic because I have been working on it for a while. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm going to bring all the gear so that I can get it recorded and it'll be something that I'd love to share on the internets. So, yeah.
I like all of that.
Yes.
I'll point you towards a couple of recent Manipul episodes and to hear it from the casual player's perspective in case there's something you might have missed.
Oh, no, I'd love that. I'd appreciate that a great deal. I'm actually hoping to float it by some of you fine folks, especially you, Mr. Clues. I was planning on reaching out to you because I want to make sure that I'm not saying things that are wrong.
Yeah, I'd love to help.
Yeah, I'd like to edit out all the refers of turn cycle, like any reference of turn cycle.
For instance.
Sweet.
Yeah. Oh, and my final thought is no man is an island except for Luang.
Except for what?
Luang.
I'm going to guess that somebody understands that joke.
Maybe.
Okay. So, sorry I don't get your Canadian humor down here. So, Clues, how about you?
All right, so you can, of course, find me most weeks on the Card Advantage podcast here on the MTGCast network. I appreciate it.
Listen to the old ones, especially there. That's the only ones I've heard. They're pretty good.
All those Thunderballs flying around.
Yeah, all kinds of discussion about Thunderball. We might have overlooked Deathrite Shaman.
Nope, you didn't.
I thought we did initially, that we just breezed right past it, and then in a later episode we talked about it again.
I mean, you specifically asked Chapin about it on the Chapin episode, so...
Okay, well, Chapin would know about Deathrite Shaman, because he actually knows what he's doing. But thank you very much for the kind words about my show. I know we put a lot of hard work into it, and we're pretty proud of it. Which you can find it both here and on our own site, which is cardadvantagecast.com. If you want to reach me, you can always email me at that show's email, which is mtgcardadvantage@gmail.com, or you can find me on the Twitters. That's the fastest way to get a hold of me. It is @LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes, or just like it sounds if you're a crazy person, because it's not really spelled how it sounds.
Yeah, or if you want, you could just send me a message, hey, tell Clues, and I'll tag him.
Yeah, that'll work.
If you can't be asked to look it up, then, you know.
And my final thought, the Milky Way Midnight is the best candy bar ever.
I have not tried this.
Oh, it's amazing.
Is this just because you're an astronomer?
No, it really is an amazing candy bar.
Oh, okay.
Like dark chocolate?
It does have dark chocolate, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Do you know in Canada we call them chocolate bars? Even if they don't have chocolate?
Oh, okay, so the generic candy bar is chocolate bar.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Around here, the generic beverage is Coke, so we understand.
Now, tell me, in Canada...
We don't use soda. Soda
is not I'm from, you know, the Indiana, Michigan area. It's pop, yeah. A soda is something with ice cream in it.
Mmm.
Oh man, I wish I also had ice cream in it.
See, at this point of North, at this point in North Carolina, I think it's where everything is called everything. So I always just call it by the actual name of the drink that I want. You know, right. Mountain yeah. Dew, Coke, Pepsi, you know, something like that. But I'm weird, and nobody else does that.
I don't know, that's all how right, it is well, around here too. So hey.
There you go, that was my parting thought.
All right. Squee?
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinNabob, no I in Goblin. And now that I'm back to, since I finally ran out of gratuitously long audiobooks, I've been catching up on podcasts again, which has been fun in its own right, because it means I'm also back to posting on all the forums and all the tweets and everything that I did before. I'm also not going to be pushing Chewy's podcast, or his podcast maybe a little bit, but it's Kickstarter and I'm not pushing that anymore, so it's back to full on me being dumb on Twitter. So hopefully that's entertaining. I'm floating right under 500 followers, so there's no telling what I'll do when I get there.
I do have to point out that you tweeting about my Kickstarter was actually way more entertaining than most things that are meant to be entertaining.
Like of mine or just in general?
What? No, just in general.
Oh, okay.
Like you're like someone who's like, this is going to be great, and they do something, and then you're like, I'm going to tweet about the Kickstarter. That was better than somebody's this is going to be great. Like,
oh, okay.
You find the hook in things, and it's very hilarious. I don't know how your brain works, but I'm glad it doesn't.
It works strangely, but I try to aim it. And that works out sometimes. Like, really and truly, it was way more fun to push your Kickstarter than it was to do any of the things I actually have to do at work. And that was the big secret to how I was doing it so often. Because I'm in marketing brain at work, but at work I have to deal with all of the people at work who have to approve things I say. And mm-hmm. most of the time, they're, you know, I'm not going to call them dumb, but I'm going to say they're very boring and they're very legal-minded. So they don't actually let you just say things unless you're willing to back them up with a thesis. And I'm like, you should give Chewy money, because if you do, he will totally not eat it. And I can just throw that out there, and then, you know, it might be a lie, but I mean, you get the money, so it doesn't matter.
It was delicious money.
When you get it, it will be. It's a midnight dark chocolate.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got to say for right now. I guess the video that I mentioned before of me stumbling through magic online, I'll get that to you so that you can put that up. If you do decide to watch it, but you don't want to watch all of it, skip to round 3, because that's where my opponent calls me a lucky noob. And it was a really entertaining interaction, because he's doing this while he's got like a double R'd up giant maggot that he's trying to lifelink me to death on. So It was pretty funny. It's an entertaining watch. And then my last opponent was actually very polite, so it was nice to balance it out.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So, I guess that's
me. I think that leaves you, yeah.
Yeah, I was running through everyone else in my head. I'm like, Jack? What have you? Oh, Jack's not here. Okay, so I'm Chewy. You can find me most weeks here on Monday Night Magic, every week over on the Mana Pool. And you should totally check out the Mana Pool YouTube video and the Mana Pool Twitch channel, because I'm going to start doing live streaming of things that no one else is really live streaming. Like, for instance, I have an ungodly number of casual decks that have not been even glanced at in at least 2 years, and they all need work. And so 2 years is 2 blocks worth of cards that haven't been seen, plus some of them have been even longer because I built them, and I was like, yay, I'm done, and I haven't looked at them since. So I want to do some live streaming of working on casual decks, which, if you're a tournament person, you can find deck techs for damn near anything you could possibly think of. If you're doing Commander, there's even more, which does not make sense to me at all. But for everything else, there's nothing. You know, just shut up and build your own deck and whatever. So I want to give people ideas and also get some help from the viewers for some of my off-the-wall casual decks. You know, 60-card and Commander, just because I have both. So that's something I want to start live streaming. Mike still has lots of weird old sets, boosters. And the live stream we did last week, you know, we did, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, we did a live stream of a Homelands Winchester draft. Well, Mike has lots of other stuff. Plus, I want to play some dual decks against each other, some of the older ones, to get people, you know, to see them, especially now that the box set is coming out. So just whatever, we're going to be live streaming stuff, like actual live streaming, not Magic Online or any of that boring crap. We're going to be streaming us physically in front of the camera doing stuff, not the marathon 12-hour deals like we did for the Kickstarter. That was a special thing. But, you know, 2-3 hours, you know, once or twice a week, something like that. So hopefully I'll be able to get that up and running soon. So, yay, exciting.
I'm excited for you.
Well, thank you, sir. I am, too, it turns out. Hang on. Ow, my wrist wouldn't pop. You hear that? That's my wrist. It's terrifying, isn't it?
Ah.
Anyway. But anyway, yeah, you can find all of that stuff. Go to themanapool.com. There will be links everywhere. So, yeah. But I guess that's it. You can find me on Twitter at themanapool. You can send me an email, Chewie, that's C-H-E-W-I-E, at mtgcast.com. And take a look on MTGcast. There are a bunch of new shows coming out. Like four or five that I have put up the first or second episode of lately. I'm afraid to try to name them off because I know I'll forget one. Like today I put up Extra Turns number one. There's Oops All Decks. There's apparently something called Wooburg Weekly that disappeared into the ether. I saw a post for it, but it never made its way to the site. Oh, and there's another one. Crap. I did like three in a row last week, so of course one of them's gonna fall off. Oops, All Decks, okay. Da, 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 da. Playing for Anti, there it is. Where they're not actually...
You can't play for Anti.
They're not actually playing for Anti, but it's a good name for a show. I like it.
Yeah, it is.
So,
it's clever.
Yeah. So yeah, everyone go check those out if you're so interested. And give them some feedback. You know, the thing that the beginning podcasters need is feedback and constructive feedback. Don't be like, your show sucks, because that doesn't help anyone. That just pisses off and discourages people. So
yeah, save that for the YouTube comments on, you know, new streams and stuff.
Yeah, feel free to throw that up on my YouTube videos, and I will gladly ignore you. But yeah, listen to them, give them some feedback, let them know what you do and don't like, that sort of thing. Be polite, be constructive. Now, if you want to tell someone that their show just sucks, feel free to tell me that, and I'll ignore you here, too. I totally will. I promise. Won't I, Clues?
Totally. Absolutely. Hey, one last thing I forgot.
I almost
let the whole show go without mentioning this. The other place you can often find me is over at Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It's a great shop. You should check it out. I sadly won't be there this weekend, but... this Saturday, we're having the TCG Player State Championships. Format is Modern. So Saturday, if you're in the Durham area, come on out for Modern.
Nice.
That was impressive. We almost got through a whole episode.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. It slipped my mind there at the end. Yeah. I was gonna work it in earlier when talking about ordering product, but...
it's okay. Chewie will edit it out. No one will ever
No, I'll just cut that out.
Yeah, Chewie will cut out. He'll bleep one thing.
Yeah. Okay. So my actual... final thought, since Schofield threw this out, is, and I think Clues followed suit, is from Louis Pasteur. Pasture. With the horses.
Louis P.
Louis P. He says, "Let me tell you the secret that has led me to my goal. My strength lies solely in my tenacity." And that seemed very appropriate given the success of the recent Kickstarter. So... My success actually, my strength does not lie solely in my tenacity, but it's a good 60% of it. So yeah, all of you out there, if you have a dream, if you have a goal, just go after it. If you're going through hell, just keep going. I think that was Winston Churchill. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, I'm gonna stop now. So thank you very much, Schofield, for joining us for this extra long, Monday Night Magic.
No problem. It was a lot of fun.
It was, and that's why I'm not going to apologize that it's so damn long, because this is some quality stuff. So with that, this has been Monday Night Magic number 421 right here on the MTGcast Network. Thank you all very much for listening, and go play some magic.